Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production. Available on Apple Podcasts and Podcast One.
The only time I ever felt like somebody was going to really put hands on me in that studio was goddamn Nelly.
What?
I didn't even see that.
What happened with Mo?
Because this was 8-9 years ago, but I remember Nelly coming in there and we having a conversation and I was talking. I'm like, Nelly, you kind of cold out here musically.
Ooh,
you know.
You hit him with that?
Yeah, and Nelly said, you know, he said, man, I keep retainers for brothers like you, cuz. Mm. Nice and calm. I'm like, I understand that language. Mm. You know what I'm saying? I understand that talk. You know what I'm saying? And it's like, you know, when you come from a certain environment, you know when something's a threat and when something's not.
Right.
So you coming in there with the rah-rah and you all this and that, like, oh, whatever. I've seen that before. Yeah. When somebody talk to you like that,
very quiet.
Oh, pass that paper over like this. Here, Charlamagne. What'd you say? There you go.
With your address on it. What were you saying?
I'm a diverse individual.
All of this shit is real.
Everybody like, what is it? Is he a family man? Is he a trapper? Is he a ladies man? I'm all of it.
All of it.
I beat your ass, kiss your girl, and go tuck my kids in. And then I show up and lead a march on the weekend.
It's all real. Real, real.
This is Expeditiously. I am Tip T.I. Harry. Now, the following experience is not a test. The conversations and stories expressed on this podcast are meant to be an expression of purpose and truth. This show, properly entitled Expeditiously, is a free exchange of ideas and opinions. No judgment, no preconceived beliefs, no fear. You're encouraged to share your thoughts and ask any question as long as it's done with respect. And that's through true love and respect for others that we will change the world and speak truth to power, one show at a time. Now, without further ado, this is Expeditiously. I'm Tip T.I. Harris. Yes, indeed. Welcome to Expeditiously, man. I am T.I.P. And, man, this is an incredible episode today, man. I have a close player partner of mine, someone who I feel privileged enough to call my brother. Also, this gentleman is known for being the co-host, the most outspoken co-host of the nationally syndicated hip-hop iHeartRadio program, The Breakfast Club, the most dangerous radio show in the country. He's considered hip-hop's Howard Stern and has become a force and an influencer in the culture. He's an executive producer with his own production company, See the God World, and co-host of the popular podcast Brilliant Idiots. He's also a New York Times best-selling author two times over of his critic with his two critically acclaimed books, Black Privilege and Shook One. Although he's widely known as Charlamagne, he may be widely and worldly acclaimed as a self-proclaimed family fan who is still a Southern charmer from the world of what the fuck
who wrote
is y'all
that
writing. What is this? This is too wordy. All right, so look, then what we gonna do, man? So we got Charlamagne in here for the Breakfast Club.
My brother, man, what's happening, Tip? You good?
Hey, man. So listen,
that shit made me sound like I'm really out here doing something with my life.
Hey, man, for real. But look, though, how much getting used to does being a best-selling author, New York Times best-selling author, like how long does it take to get used to that?
To be honest with you, I don't think about it. You know what I'm saying? I don't think about it until I'm in certain situations and certain circumstances or I hear it, like how you just said it just now. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, damn, I am a two-time over New
York. I'm talking about twice, though.
Twice, yeah.
Yeah, that's dope.
I don't think nothing of it because in my mind, I'm still that kid on the dirt road in Monk's Corner, South Carolina.
Yeah, now speaking of Monk's Corner, South Carolina.
Yes, sir.
First of all, man, where exactly, could you please share with the listeners where the fuck is that?
If you ever been to Charleston.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
It's like 20, 25 minutes from Charleston, South Carolina. It's a small town. And when I was growing up, the population was like 7,000, 8,000.
Damn.
Now it's about 10,000. Mm. And it's this in between like Charleston, if you're going down I-26, in between Orangeburg, Columbia.
Black people?
Yeah.
Yeah, black people.
He came from there. What are you talking about?
Yeah, I'm sure.
A lot of white people, though. You know what I'm saying?
Like,
growing up, my dad used to always be like, look at them damn crackers.
Damn.
It was that kind of town.
Damn.
Yeah, because it was the guys that used to ride around with the pickup trucks with, with the Confederate flag on it. You know what I'm saying? They shotgun in the window.
Yeah.
So it was always that, like, I don't want to say racial tension, but, you know, we were aware of what we were around.
I mean, there's always conflict.
Yes.
There's always been conflict. So, I mean, is it mostly farmland? Like, is it a...
Yeah, it's a rural area. I grew up on a dirt road, cornfields all around my mother's house.
Sheesh.
You know, we used to play in the cornfields. When that movie Children of the Corn came out, we was all shook. We used to run through the woods. Whoa. You know, when I got into my days of, you know, selling drugs.
Yeah,
We would hit the woods when the police came. Like, it's country.
Yeah.
Super country.
I know that we ran into each other, man, when you were a radio personality on the radio station. Was it Columbia?
Columbia, South Carolina.
In Columbia, South Carolina. And I mean, you were always one that was known for... You know, you were a shock jock even back then.
You know what's so crazy about the term shock jock is funny to me because it's like, what's shocking about, I guess, just speaking your mind? You know, what's shocking about just being honest with your observations?
This is true.
Because I've seen real shock jocks that'll do stuff like sacrifice pigs in cathedrals.
What?
Oh, yeah,
is
yeah,
that
yeah.
A shock jock?
That's what I'm saying. But they would do things like that on purpose. You know what I'm saying? Like to get a shock out of people. Like, I wasn't trying to get a rise out of people. Nah, like, they thought it was shocking. I remember the first time you came to the Big DM, I don't know if it's the first time, but you was in between albums.
Okay.
You already had dropped I'm Serious.
Right.
And I think you had just did the deal. No, I don't think you did the deal with Atlantic yet.
Okay.
And you had 24s on White Label.
Right.
And you came to the station like 10:30, 11 o'clock at night. It was you and C-Rod.
Okay.
And me playing 24s.
Right.
You know, without consulting the program director.
That was a big deal.
That was considered shocking.
That was a big deal.
You know, that's not shocking. I'm like, yo, I mean.
You play music.
Absolutely.
You try to control the DJ's ability to break music when that's what the DJ is supposed to be in place for.
Well, that was back in the day when they was really taking money to play records. So being that you didn't have a label situation, they was like, what is you playing that for?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I mean, how much of, you know, your method of interviewing is reflective of your true personality? And how much sauce are you putting on it, you know what I'm saying, just to be provocative? And, you know, because, you know, that's what people kind of expect from Charlamagne.
I don't think I do it anymore. It was a period where I used to do that, especially when you get caught up in the, when you start seeing magazines and shit say like the hip hop Howard Stern.
Right.
Which I don't like because you don't never see them compare a white guy to a black guy.
That makes sense.
You know what I'm saying?
That makes sense.
You know, like, to me, I like Howard, I respect him.
Right.
But he not the bar for me. You know what I'm saying?
Right, right. The bar for you, what would the bar be?
I mean, I like Petey Green, man.
Yeah, if Petey Green was the truth.
And Petey was Howard OG.
Yeah.
You know, Petey had a TV show that he put Howard on back in the day before everybody knew who Petey Howard Stern was.
Petey Green from D.C.
Yep.
I know Damani definitely didn't know who he was.
Yeah, Petey Green from D.C.,
Don Cheadle did a movie about him.
Yeah.
Talk
to me. He was like one of the main radio personalities for Radio 1 early on.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
So I think Kathy Hughes, her pops, kind of put him in position, and he was just a very outspoken but down with the people kind of, you know what I'm saying, almost on some... If you would have took Rudy Ray Moore and put him on the radio.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
And that actually fucked me up, though, when they started calling me the hip-hop Howard Stern.
Yeah, that's
not the right matchup.
So, exactly. So when I start paying attention, I always have paid attention to Howard. Yeah. So I'm like, well, damn, what do they like about Howard? So that'll have you in there sniffing J-Lo's seat and shit. Oh, you know what I'm saying? Bringing porn stars in there and tying them up.
You
like,
have a class about just honesty. Yeah,
but it was a period.
It was a level of integrity that comes with your work.
It was a period I was doing that bullshit. Though it was a split second.
I mean, it was a period where that shit was just kind of like it was like status quo. When you think about, of course, they call you a shock jock, but when I think about the differentiation between you and other personalities like Star and Buck Wild, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, have you ever been concerned with going too far?
Nah, because I think I have a different level of integrity that keep me from doing things that they just, that things that they did that I just would never think about doing. Like, I'm not going to insult nobody's children. Right. I'm not going to threaten nobody's children. You know what I'm saying? I'm not going to, you know, make no jokes about nobody's children in the way that Star did with Envy's kids. You know what I'm saying? I'm not going I'm not going to play playing crash.
I didn't know about that.
Yeah, oh, yeah, he got a record.
The shit was wild.
That's what I'm saying. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to play sound, playing sound effects crashing when somebody died. Like, I'm not gonna do all of that. You know what I'm saying? Well, by the way, some people might look at some things that I've said and be like, well, I wouldn't do that.
Well, I haven't heard you really say that. I just heard you be completely honest at times.
That's what I attempt to be. But sometimes, you know,
it's cool though. I think that that's necessary.
Yes.
Because a lot of motherfuckers need to be put in their place.
That's a fact.
The game need referees.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Motherfuckers get carried away with themselves.
That's why I like when guys like you started to be more vocal outside of the music.
I mean, you know, I feel like once you get to a certain level in your career, you know, you've kind of earned the right. You know, your legacy allows you to be more outspoken.
Absolutely.
And I appreciate that, man. I mean, I appreciate being able to be in that position. So this is new for me, you know what I'm saying? This, you know, the podcast.
It seemed like you've been doing this your whole goddamn life.
You've been doing very well.
I listened to both episodes with Killer Mike. I listened to the Alex Jones episode, which I thoroughly enjoyed.
Wow.
I thoroughly enjoyed it.
Man, I mean, you know what I'm saying? Listen, man, Alex, you know, he got some information, but it's a lot of cap on that.
He sound like a black Israelite to me.
Yeah, it's a lot of cap.
No, for real. You ever talk to the black Israelites?
I've listened to him on the Kona.
What city?
New York.
Oh, yeah.
Like, if you ever read Behold the Pale Horse, like, the stuff he's saying ain't
now,
too far fetched.
Behold the Pale Horse, I read that in 2000. That, you know, that blew my mind. But I thought it was just a bunch of bullshit. The silent war.
Yeah.
All that shit. Now I see. Yeah, it's taking effect.
That book spooked me.
It's taking effect.
And that's what I say with somebody like Alex. I think he's telling the truth about a lot of stuff.
Me too.
Because I
think he throws some bullshit in there to kind of throw you off of what he is actually telling the truth.
I agree with that. Because I look at the people that they ban too. Like, why would you ban somebody like that?
Yeah.
Like, if he's not saying
ban nobody for lying,
that's all I'm saying. Right. If he was just spitting some propaganda and some BS, you'd be like, all right, cool. But the fact that he must be saying something that's true somewhere where somebody wants to silence him.
Hey, what's the business, man? Tip T.I. Harris right here, man. We're going to take a pause in the conversation on Expeditiously to bring to you a company that is helping with anxiety relief, pain relief. Now, this company I'm talking about is Feels. Yeah, Feels. F-E-A-L-S. But what we're going to do is, man, we're going to talk about people who travel all the time, people who always on the go making business move, and it may not leave you a lot of time for sleep. You know what I'm saying? If this sound like you, then you need to get a Feels membership, okay? When you join the Feels community, you'll get Feels Premium CBD delivered to your door every month. You understand what I'm saying? Now, if you must medicate, you may as well use something that's organic and natural, right? You just place a few drops under your tongue and say you feel the difference in minutes. Okay. Everybody's using CBD now as a natural solution to dealing with pain, anxiety, and sleeplessness with no high, no hangover, no addiction. Let Feels help you feel better. I see what you did there. Okay. Feels and feel. I got that. Now, it has been documented that Feels will help you feel your very best every day. You can become a member today by going to Feels.com/TIP and you'll get 50% off your first order with free shipping. That's Feels, FEALS.com/TIP to become a member and get 50% automatically taken off your first order with free shipping. Feels.com/TIP. And now, let's get back to Expeditiously. Now, you as a personality, how long, you know, from South Carolina to your migration to New York, how long have you been like a journalist, do you think?
I don't know if I'm a journalist.
What do you mean?
I never considered that title. Like, when I look at journalists, I think of, like, you know, Barbara Walters, Diane Sawyer.
Okay,
you know,
I can dig that.
Dan Rather.
So you don't think that radio personalities can be journalists?
No, I think they can be. I just don't think I'm one. You know what I'm saying? I definitely think they can be. When I think about like the Miss Infos.
Okay.
You know, Angie Martinez, Elliot Wilson.
Okay.
Like I'm not gonna say they take it a little bit more serious than I do, but I think maybe the
definitive factor would be one is for, say, sharing opinions for the purpose of entertainment, mm-hmm. and another one would be kind of like discovering facts.
Yeah,
you
know what I mean.
But I feel like, you know, it's a lot of that in what you do. You know, especially with, you know, you got the with your latest book, Shook Ones. Mm-hmm. You attack the stigma of mental health in the African or in the Black community. And I feel like that's journalism. You know what I'm saying?
That's interesting, because all I was doing was telling my story. You know what I'm saying? I started going to therapy. And when I started going to therapy, I was just keeping a journal of everything that I was experiencing in therapy and, like, the conversations I would have with my therapist.
Uh-huh.
And that turned into the pages of this book.
Wow.
And I actually was trying to translate what my therapist was telling me.
Okay.
You know, but I realized, like, nah, that's not what therapy is about. Therapy is just helping me to understand the shit that I've been through, the things that I'm feeling, so I was able to tell the story. So I brought in this guy named Dr. Ish. He graduated from the University of South Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
He's a psychiatrist. And so he gave these clinical correlations in the book. So when that shit came out and people started gravitating towards it, and then, like, I'm showing up on shows that I've never been on and speaking in places I've never been speaking at, and they're like, oh, you're a mental health advocate. And I'm like, for real?
Wow.
That wasn't the intention. You know what I mean?
Well, it was kind of big when you spoke out on it, because that was the only time
a lot of people felt that way.
Yeah, it came out of nowhere, too. Mm-hmm. I'm like, whoa. And that really made me want to go check your book out.
A lot of people felt that way, and I don't think there's enough acknowledgement or consideration given to how much trauma not just Black men, but Black people,
Lord have mercy,
have endured, and that how much is actually being internalized, you know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
To the point where once you get to a breaking point, you know, when people see the effect of that trauma, then, you know, they label you as crazy.
Absolutely. I mean, shit, you think about it. My father, over Thanksgiving of last year, my father read my book, and my little cousin killed himself. He was 26 years old. That was like the fourth time he tried to kill himself. He cut his wrist one time. That didn't do it. He shot himself in the stomach. That didn't do it. I think he tried to take some pills or something. That didn't do it. And over Thanksgiving, he put the gun in his mouth, blew his brains out.
Yeah.
So between that and my book, my pops was like, yo, you know, I tried to kill myself 30-something years ago.
Damn.
And then he told me that he was on 10 to 12 different medications throughout his life. And he had been going to therapy. He ain't never told nobody that until Thanksgiving of last year. So I remember going to my mom, like, yo, you know, Pops was going through all this shit. And she was like, I thought he was just playing crazy to get a check.
Because
he has been getting a check for the past 20 years.
Wow.
So it's just like, we don't take things serious when our people are going through certain things.
What is that about? Why?
I mean, probably because we dealing with our own shit.
That's a fact.
You know what I'm saying?
You know what it is with Black people, man? This generation, we the first generation of Black men that probably got the luxury
some
of healing.
Some success out of it.
Yeah.
But with the luxury of healing. This shit is a luxury.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
We abuse victims. I realize that.
We've been blessed with the means to actually afford ourselves some formal help.
Absolutely. You think about our parents. Our parents were just trying to survive. What if they on good times? They were scratching and surviving.
How you going to pay for a psychiatrist?
Yeah, the psychology
you trying to feed four kids.
You can't even pay your gas.
I got your psychology, you man.
That's psychiatry.
But that's why we turn to drugs. That's why we turn to alcohol. That's why we turn to...
I'm not on drugs, Charlamagne.
You definitely on drugs.
We turn to drugs. Want to make that clap.
Yeah,
marijuana is a drug.
Five
drugs.
It's okay though,
it's medicine.
Man. This is a place of honesty.
Yes,
honestly, you're right.
You know what I'm saying?
All right, I just smoked the blunt before I came.
Yeah, and you got psychiatrists recommending marijuana in some cases.
Yeah, I mean, I think that, you know,
psychiatrists.
Yeah,
it's a form of. Wait a minute, they're not gonna write you a prescription for a seven. You know what I'm saying? So, how can we kind of remove the stigma of mental health within our community?
Everybody keep telling their stories. People ask me that all the time. How you eradicate the stigma of mental health? Tell your story. Like we be so afraid to talk about things that we going through, how we feel, you know, the effects of certain things on us. Like, a lot of shit ain't normal. It ain't normal to be getting guns pulled on you.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It ain't normal to be sitting in a jail cell and then be in fucking solitary confinement for 3 months at a time. You know what I'm saying? like think about the mindset we had to be in to even do some of the shit that we used to do back in the day.
We was abused first, and then we just
hurt people. Hurt people.
Yeah.
Hurt people. Hurt people.
Man, my mentor Ambassador Young, he said, man, you know, the condition of the household, at least in the civil rights era, or ever since, you know what I'm saying, even before then, back in Jim Crow day. So he's like, it's really a trickle-down effect. you know, the man is the head of the household. Mm-hmm. But when the man leaves the house, he has to deal with the conditions of the world, you know. So he treated like he ain't shit out right. in the world. So he takes that energy, that trauma, he come back and he treat the wife like she ain't shit. And then she takes that trauma and she treats the kid like he ain't
Absolutely.
Shit. Then the kid kicked the dog and the dog chased the cat and the cat chased the mouse, so on and so forth.
Yeah.
And it really just disturbs the ecosystem.
And that's the beauty of therapy, because I feel like, yo, we all dealing with so much trauma, we got to get to the root of that trauma. Because if we don't get to the root of that trauma, we're just going to be a bunch of hurt people in pain, redistributing that pain, the motherfuckers that usually look just like us.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Those are the people who I think, you know, we go to first. We always lash out at the people who are closest
Lord,
to us or most familiar, or that we're most familiar with.
That's why I hate that. I hate when they talk about black on black crime. You know what I'm saying?
Black on black crime is a fictitious construct.
Yeah, I'm hearing it's a myth.
There is no such thing as black on black crime. People kill or commit crimes around the people that they live
Absolutely.
Around.
Absolutely.
Period.
You know what I'm saying? Where is the white on white crime?
It's definitely white on white crime.
But I'm just saying, as
Every
many
mass, shooting.
Mass shootings as we've had, as many, you know, crazy hateful white boy we got out here doing crazy hateful shit, there is no statistic on white crime. Why is it that there's only a statistic of black on black crime? I tell you why. Because it perpetuates that theory that we need to be policed, and it
absolutely.
Yeah, it contributes to mass incarceration.
Well, yeah, if we take that away, then people smarten up a little bit.
Absolutely. I think that the black on black crime is to the system, it operates on fear.
Correct.
You know what I mean? So you have to do something, create fear, and from that fear,
you can justify.
You can go justify all the shit that you know you ain't supposed to do. For instance, like the Patriot Act. You know what I'm saying? After 9/11.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's why they could tap your phone without having
We had to get the 9/11 done first so we could have the procedures.
Yep. Yeah, so after that, they're like, hey, you know, you see what they're coming over here doing? They flying planes in our building.
Yeah, absolutely.
That shit
when they put all those police in our neighborhood and they hit us with those harsh sentences for whether it's the 94 crime bill, the 88 crack laws, they can justify that shit based off, this is where all the trouble is at. This is where all the problems is at. You seen Joe Biden stand on the Senate floor and say that verbatim. He was like, I don't care about the conditions that cause these predators to become predators. Mm. We need to fix this shit now, because if we don't, they're going to end up killing our moms and our fathers and our brothers
Shout
and our sisters.
Joe Biden. Is Joe Biden good?
Nah, man. It's tough.
I got questions.
I think he's a good guy with bad shit on him.
Man.
What?
He got some bad shit on
him. I say it all the time. Joe Biden has done worse things to black people than Donald Trump ever has.
For real?
Hell yeah, man. The 88 crack laws?
Like, educate me.
He did the 88 crack laws with Strom Thurmond. Strom Thurmond was a motherfucking racial segregationist from South Carolina.
Wait, who was he down with? Was he down with?
It was Obama's
Barack's
boy.
Vice
he
president.
Barack's vice president.
Yeah. The 88 crack laws. Think about it. 88 crack laws. Everybody know crack was in the black community more than anywhere.
Because they put it there.
So
88 crack laws that gave you more time for crack than it did powder cocaine, that was systemically done because they knew who was running around with the 20s of rocks in their pockets.
Yeah, absolutely.
Then you fast forward 6 years later, the 94 crime bill that he called the Biden bill.
Now, what's the 94
Damn, Joe
crime?
Not a good
the 94
guy.
Crime bill was what they were so mad about Hillary over, and Hillary wasn't even in the administration when that shit went down. You know what I'm saying? She was just the first lady. She was just Bill Clinton's old lady. Mm. But the 94 crime bill basically is what they say started mass incarceration. You know what I'm saying? It just gave out all of these harsh sentences to black people.
What year was that?
94.
My dad did 29 years, and he came home, like in the middle of that, he came home one time about, you know, 14 years then he came home. And he just went right back in. But his whole generation's in jail.
And listen, we all make mistakes, but he will not even say that it was a mistake. You ask him now, he'll say the 94 crime bill didn't cause mass incarceration.
What's happening, man? We're going to pause on the discussion right here expeditiously because we have a much-needed message to deliver to you. Now, it's about the Fossil Gen 5 smartwatch. It's their most innovative smartwatch to date. It's compatible with both iPhones and Android phones. You can make or take calls from your wrist. Even look like, you know, a 007 CIA agent. You know what I mean? We can get your earpiece in the whole gig. You dig what I'm saying? Now, download all the apps you want and music with 8 gigabytes of storage. No need for nightly charges. Extend your battery life for multiple days with smart battery modes. All right? Now, here's the bonus. It's a smartwatch that actually looks good. You know what I'm saying? Now, this may be an intangible benefit, you know what I'm saying, just given all of the many uses like making and taking calls, listening to your music, downloading your apps. If that's not enough for you, it also looks good, all right? So what are you waiting for, man? Go ahead and treat yourself to the Fossil GN5 smartwatch. You have my permission to shop nonstop using your bankroll and not mine. So get your GN5 smartwatch now at fossil.com/TI. Starting at $295, shop right now at fossil.com/TI. So tell me, man, 2020 is a big year.
Mm-hmm.
And, okay, we have... our options are, you know, far and few in between. For me, it's really anyone but Trump 2020. That's how I feel. Although he might not even make it that far.
Yeah, the way it's looking now, I don't know.
But they impeach him on the last week.
What you mean on the last week? For real?
Like, I
mean, the impeachment is going to help because then that'll take him out the history books.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you get knocked out of history when you
Yeah.
I mean, you got to still fuck with Clinton. You got to stain on your name.
But Clinton wasn't necessarily impeached. Like, I'm talking, what about Nixon?
He got impeached?
Yeah. Clinton got impeached, but he didn't get removed.
Okay.
Yeah, and Nixon got impeached, but he didn't get removed. Nixon actually quit before he even went through his trial hearing. Clinton went through with the trial, but they found him... I guess not guilty. But
Nixon ain't, his pictures ain't up in no post offices or nothing like that.
Nixon is a loser. Just like, like Clinton ain't really looked at as a loser. Nixon quit. So that's an admission of guilt right there. Like,
Nixon,
I'm not even about to go through that shit.
Stuff, though.
Like what?
Like the UFOs.
What do you mean? Come on, man.
Isn't Nixon the one that said he's seen the UFO? Nixon said he's seen the UFO. Who was that?
I do remember.
Nixon out there.
I don't know if he said he saw him.
To your Google. Let me see.
They said he did a deal. They said, I read something like that. He did a deal with extraterrestrials or some
Nixon's
shit.
How do you do a deal with
It was almost like a fly zone type of thing.
What year he was
almost.
In
I don't know if this is true.
You kind of leased them some airspace?
There you go. Like, y'all don't come here. Y'all don't come there. If y'all do... you know, take a couple of, you know, cows or whatever, some human abductions, just bring them back type shit. I remember
human
reading
abductions.
Something like that. I'm not going to sit here and say I read that in a reliable source. I just remember reading that. They gave Bill Clinton a bad deal, though. And the reason I think I'm going to tell you why. Bill Clinton could have got away with that in this era.
Because
who is going to tell the truth about cheating on their wife?
Yeah.
What man?
It's the truth.
That's what I'm saying.
Black men don't cheat.
Black men don't cheat. Bill Clinton is white. Regardless of what they say of him being the first black president, he was a white man. But I'm saying, you get caught cheating, what you expect a man to do?
Yeah, I'm caught.
And if he do tell the truth, he's going to tell the truth between him and his old lady.
His wife. They ain't finna come on TV.
No.
Be on TV.
And I looked it up. Nixon definitely made it to where
you ain't even pulled your phone out, Five.
I looked it up. He definitely
looked it up. What?
I did it slick. I did it smooth.
Yeah, sure.
Man,
you got a pick for 2020? You got somebody you looking at?
Man, no. I don't know. I'm waiting on it to shake out a little bit.
What about Bernie? Yeah. Is Bernie good?
Bernie, I like his stance, but he's in the hospital.
It don't look good when everybody's saying you too old and then you in the hospital today getting stems in your
God
heart.
God bless Bernie and his family, but I definitely said 2 months ago that Bernie Sanders is getting kind of old.
Kind of old? He's 78 years old.
He's the same age as Donald Trump.
Why our president so old?
What you mean?
That's old as hell. I mean, 70-something years old.
Nah, that is old to be 70-something
president. 70-something to run our country?
Nah, I agree. I'm not going to lie.
You can't even damn near drive.
Yeah. You can't do anything.
I don't believe in ageism, but nah, I kind of feel Five on that. Just because of the duties of the presidency, man.
He might go see now. Push the button.
I think you should have a certain physical...
trip out of
like, there should be... There should be some physical capacity to the president. You're the leader of the free world.
Absolutely,
so
man.
If motherfucking Putin come over here and knock on the White House door and say he want to challenge you to a fight,
absolutely.
I mean, you got to.
But
you know,
Trump will fight him. I will say that Trump will
fight him.
That's the man.
He ain't finna fight.
And Trump 76 is damn self.
He ain't pulled to fight.
Yeah, expedition to real give Trump no props.
He ain't pulled to fight.
Trump don't deserve no props.
I'm just saying, you want to think, like, for instance, Barack, you're like, you know, you can see.
Barack can fight.
He can protect himself.
I can tell
himself
by the way Barack played basketball that he would fight.
Barack and Michelle look like they can fight.
Michelle definitely can fight.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, they look like a nice, healthy couple.
Absolutely.
And look how old Barack looked after those age years.
They fucked him up.
So imagine Bernie in the White House, man.
A lot of stress, man.
Mm.
Shit, Trump not aged him like
do it. I don't know why anybody would want to do it. I don't know.
Be the president?
Yeah, I don't know why anybody would want to do it. It's just really like a big, big stroke of the ego. That's really all it is.
You don't have no privacy.
You want somebody to kiss your ass all day.
You don't have no privacy.
I don't think there's nothing wrong being the president if you really got power. I'm not sure that they really got power. You know what I'm saying? Like, those are,
not
a lot of them say they puppets, you know?
That's what they say.
I believe that.
Somebody controlling those strategies.
So who's behind that? Who's back there?
Them people Alex UFOs? Jones be talking about.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? The people who was at Bahamian Grove.
Whoa!
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But to be honest with you, money runs the world. Period.
Correct.
Whoever has the most money buys the best weapons.
Absolutely.
And, you know, so on and so forth. So money runs the world. And the central banking system
runs the world.
Is, you know, that's the source of the most wealth in the world. So therefore, the central banking system would have a little more say-so over what is done in any country than the president.
Yeah, the president ain't nobody, man.
Nah, I wouldn't go say that.
Just keep it real.
Listen, yeah, Trump is showing me that presidents got more power than I thought.
It's Trump with the power.
I mean, listen, he's done things in the presidency that I didn't think was possible.
Man, this shit is,
I didn't know. He's shown me that presidents got a lot more power than I thought they did.
Yeah, this shit is ridiculous. I mean, shout out to Robert De Niro, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, he went hard, right?
Yeah.
Old Bobby D, man.
Yeah.
You know?
getting on
CNN and telling it like it is, you dig? One time. See, that's the thing. Once you get up in age, man, you don't give a fuck about what you say and who you are saying.
And that's exactly how Trump feels.
Shit. Fuck him. I'm sorry, but fuck him.
But that's the problem.
That was legendary, actually.
That's actually the problem with the Democratic Party. Mm. They don't realize the language of politics is dead.
Right.
So they still getting on TV, you know, talking all proper.
And still trying to be PC.
Yeah, they have their talking points, you know what I'm saying?
Nobody, meanwhile, nobody cares about that.
Robert De Niro, Trump, them, they just letting it fly.
Bullshit.
You remember that movie Bullworth?
Yeah.
With Warren Beatty?
Mm-hmm.
That's how one of these liberals gotta be. They gotta be like Bullworth. Don Cheadle was in that too.
Mm-hmm.
Motherfucker Bullworth was running for president. He fell in love with Halle Berry and he started going to the hood with Halle Berry and he started listening to Don Cheadle and the gang members talk, cause you know our brothers are in the street, we articulate and we know what's going on in our community.
Yeah.
And he started taking that information in and getting on them fucking debate stages and spitting that shit, and the nation fell in love with him, and then they killed his ass.
I mean,
they smoked Bullworth at the end of the movie. They smoked him at the end of the movie.
We're going to take this conversation and dedicate it to helping people who need help the most.
I see.
Just like we did for you, Dina, we're going to help others, okay? So anyone looking to have a little more intimacy added to their relationship and possibly a deeper connection, try the chewables from BlueChew.com. With BlueChew.com, they can actually get the first chewables with the same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, but chewable, so they work faster. You know what I'm saying? So you can take that man who had, you know.
Yeah.
The
Well, so it's chewy, so they don't have to be chewy.
There you go. You know what I'm saying?
You know?
Sure. I get it. And why? And you don't have a man? I'm telling you. Blue Chew allows you to get straight to the bedroom, man, and pipe up.
Please. So we don't want her to be disappointed.
And some of them need all the help they can get.
But you're right. That is the number one reason why somebody wouldn't call you back.
With Blue Chew, there's no awkward doctor visit, and they can send it straight to you in discreet packaging so your neighbors ain't all in your business. You know what I mean? But it's time for you to be confident in the bedroom every time. Now, you know what I'm saying? So what you need to do is to take advantage of this great deal that they have for you guys, you visit BlueChew.com and get your first order free. when you use promo code TIP. Ain't that something?
We got to try it out.
Get you going to try it? What you talking about?
I mean, the collective people.
I mean, they got to try it out.
Yeah, I mean,
I don't know, man. I guess I give it a ring around the rosy.
You probably
I have to. I don't need, but I have to test all the stuff that I'm promoting.
Okay.
I just have to. I can't promote something that I don't know what it's like. But I mean, I don't know if I could get any better, Dina.
Oh my God!
I don't know if I can get any better, Dina.
You know what?
Listen.
Lord, well, if you can, it would be with these
my
chewables
wife,
right
my,
here.
My wife sings my praises all the live long hour
Lord.
After. Right after that hour is up, then, you know, it's back to the... But, hey, but you guys have a greater chance at success in the bedroom with BlueChew.com. You know what I mean? Promo code TIP. And they paid me to say it, so chew it and do it.
Chew it and do it!
We, in this past week, have seen quite the turn of events.
Okay.
So, the impeachment inquiry, it derives from an alleged conversation between Agent Orange and which prime minister?
Ukrainian president.
Ukrainian president. Which it is said that the sitting president suggested that the Ukrainian president should look into Joe Biden's son's business in the Ukraine. Now, the thing about that is that's already unlawful to use your power to influence another president to investigate
a potential political opposition.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and not to mention, on the same call is to talk about why the funds or the aid for the Ukraine ain't made it yet.
Yeah, he held that. He held on to that.
So basically, he held the funds. And so basically,
until he got what he wanted.
Right. The United States have an agreement with the Ukraine where they give them aid. And, you know, they send them money. They get a care package. And when it was time for the care package didn't make it.
Whoa.
You know what I mean? And so the Ukrainian president, of course, is like, yo, what's going on, guys? And Trump was like, yeah, well, you know, I want to talk to you about this thing.
Yeah, I need a favor.
I want you to do a favor.
Oh, that's fucked up. It's some mob shit.
I want you to do a favor for me.
That's fucked up.
I mean, man, I honestly feel like, and then after the inquiry for the impeachment, the article of impeachment, he took to Twitter and, in so many words, threatened a civil war.
What?
Today, this morning, he said this is a coup happening in America. He said the Democratic Party is trying to take away your rights to everything. That right there, that's war talk right there. Mm-hmm. You riling up your troops, all them motherfucking bikers.
Go against who, though? Us, fellow Americans?
Fair and decent people.
Yes. See, he's a fascist, and this is textbook fascism. You know what
supremacists
I mean?
Against fair and
I'm
decent
people.
I'm
going to tell you a lot. Supremacists are going to lose these days.
I mean,
I don't know, bro.
I don't know too many tough supremacists running around here. You see them?
Shit.
You see them? I don't see them.
What? Absolutely.
I see supremacists on the news, Fox 5.
Man,
I don't see them roaming the areas talking about, y'all niggas get up out of here.
Them white biker gangs ain't bullshitting.
Now, the biker gangs are the...
Hey, five.
Old biker gangs are serious.
The police ain't bullshitting.
Yeah.
What are you doing?
That's the biggest gang in America.
Come on, bro.
First and foremost, never underestimate anybody. Everybody, man, a baby will knock your head off.
Word.
You dig what I'm saying?
As long as he can pull the triggers.
I just want people to know, I'm not scared of no white supremacy. I'm not trying to be funny about it, but like, there's people who see the KKK or see shit authority and just back down.
No, I'm not scared of white supremacy.
You know what I'm saying? I want that to be known. Like, that's played out. Nobody's worried about
it. Well, that's the Bible. The Bible made us fear that. Ephesians 6:5.
Fear is exclusive to God.
Yes,
you know
exactly. But in the Bible, it said slaves should fear their earthly masters.
Yes. Well, we know that was
and respect
why,
them.
You know some lines.
That's why I can't fuck with
King
the Bible
James.
All the way.
Yeah.
Because now, don't get me wrong. I believe in God.
Me too.
I know God is real. Religion is bullshit.
I agree totally.
In the Bible, there are so many inconsistencies, and that's the reason why. And I believe Jesus I believe he walked the earth. I believe he was a great man.
Yeah, like Martin Luther King Jr. or Elijah Muhammad. I mean, Malcolm X.
He's a little more better than that.
He's better than that. I think he's been. I even go with the man with, I won't go without sin, the man with the least sin. That's what I would go
we
with.
We don't know what him and Mary Magdalene was doing.
I don't even.
And a man that can turn water into wine want a party. Okay, that I know.
I will say this.
The myth of Jesus, though, the story points have been duplicated throughout in different civilizations.
Yes.
In 1400s, 1500s, like there are different, people who were born, they say, on December 25th. Who were born Immaculate Conception to a virgin, who died on the cross and was resurrected on the third day. All of the different points of Jesus' stories, they've been also associated with other people in history.
I agree with that, but I'm gonna tell you this about Jesus. He's the most famous one.
What do you mean, famous? Who gives a damn about fame?
No, I'm just saying.
Talking about...
We're talking about the Messiah.
I'm going with the most popular Messiah. That's what I'm trying to say.
How many messiahs do you know,
Five?
Well, Jesus has more followers on Instagram.
God don't like somebody who want to be so smart and go back to the 1300 billion. He don't say that in the Bible. Like, don't be that guy.
The wildest thing about Jesus to me is I don't know how Jesus became God over God. I don't understand. Wait a minute now.
This is the thing. Because another inconsistency in the Bible, it says, "I God is a jealous God."
That's right.
You can't serve two masters.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay. So, if God is a jealous God, but Christianity is telling, say, the only way to God is through Jesus.
Yes.
See, that's a contradiction. I don't get it. You serving two masters.
Are people saying Jesus is God? Like,
I
thought God was the Father, Jesus was the Son.
If you're a scumbag, you can use and pray in Jesus' name. You see what I'm trying to say?
What does that mean?
I never understood that.
That means how do you pray in Jesus' name?
Because I sinned, or whatever the case may be, I'm going to God. I'm not worthy. So therefore, before I pray, hey, Father God, I ask you this in Jesus' name.
Why can't I go right to God?
That's what I'm saying. How do you pray in Jesus' name if you are serving God?
Jesus is the Son.
The Son.
I don't hold
when you want to call. Listen, when you want to talk,
I'm a God body. I don't want to start this.
But just wait a minute, man. You asking questions, so you gonna have to listen to the answers. Listen, you can't step on my shoe and then say, "Hey, Damani, Dad, I'm sorry."
Exactly. You gotta tell Tim sorry.
But guess what you can say? "Hey, Damani, I fucked up. Can you talk to your dad for me?"
All right, you got a point, Five. That's a good point.
You got a better relationship with him than me. Holla at him, Sidney. Clean the slate. I'll be back tomorrow morning.
That's a good point.
Hey, man.
That is a good point.
I go for that.
But you're still not putting Damani on the same level as his father.
He's not.
But that's what they do with Jesus.
That's a mistake.
Yes, I agree.
Because of the,
propaganda. I mean, it's real. It's propaganda. To be honest with you, it's propaganda. Also, the Bible, it says that God's word is everlasting.
Yes.
God's word is everlasting. So if God's word is everlasting, then that means there's no ability, there's no opportunity to change any of these words.
Absolutely not.
In this Bible.
And that's the problem.
Okay, well, you do know that the Bible has been rewritten more times than any other book.
Yes, sir. Ever. You got Old Testament, New Testament, the LeBron James version.
The LeBron James version.
That's funny. This is why you're supposed to figure it out yourself. Like, that's why God gives you your time to figure it out. Now, if you get caught up in the inconsistencies, that's on you. But there's more good than bad.
When I speak to preachers and I say this, man, you know what I'm saying? I have a very hard time. I mean, were they subscribing to a policy? I believe a lot of preachers are
scammers.
Very good. Well, wait a minute. I think a lot of them are good people. I think they really, really, really do believe.
They've been tricked or something.
They really do believe. They're just like, shit, some lawyers really believe in the legal system.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That's true.
Now, some police really believe in good police work. You dig what I'm saying? However, you do know that as history has shown us,
Ain't too much good police work going
on. You dig what I'm saying?
The biggest problem,
the
biggest problem I got with Christianity, man, as long as you got black people worshiping a white Jesus, you will never ever truly rebel against your oppressors, because when you see them, you see God.
That's a fact.
You know what I'm saying? That's what I see today. You look at that case today, the whole Amber Geiger situation, and you got one policewoman rubbing her hair. You got the judge getting off the bench to hug her. You got the brother saying, "I don't want you to go to jail."
What is that? I've never seen that in my life.
That is what happens when you worship white Jesus.
I want you to know Jesus.
Stockholm syndrome.
Yes, you can't stand to see a white woman uncomfortable, a white person uncomfortable.
You know what Stockholm syndrome is? Stockholm syndrome is when you have been held captive or kidnapped, and the people who have kidnapped you have, you know, kind of brainwashed you to where you support them.
Yeah, I'm telling y'all, we could take the cuffs off.
So I think a lot of black people have Stockholm syndrome.
Yeah, we're so forgiving when it comes to white folks.
No, but I will say this.
But boy, we cancel each other in a heartbeat.
One of the best churches I ever went to in my life was shout out to Pastor Frank, a Baptist church. It was a white church. I'm not going to lie. But he was strictly to keeping it real. He was in there, "No, I ain't no white Jesus." Yeah, he was.
That's in Chicago? No, that ain't Chicago. Okay.
I ain't going to lie, but that's the only white church I've went to and seen that in my whole life. But there was one. I mean, I don't go to no black churches.
I mean,
once the play come around the music, I'm good. I was in a church.
I see church like a show.
It really is. You go to
it's
be
like
entertained.
A play.
What city
if
has
I
the worst churches?
Go, huh?
What city has the worst churches?
I don't know, Atlanta. Man. I'm sure. man, as you know,
I can tell you who got the best.
Dallas is, you know, big.
You ever been to Potter House?
Mm-mm, what's that?
That's Bishop T.D. Jakes Church in Dallas.
No, never been.
T.D. Jakes.
Listen, you would love it.
T.D. Jakes.
Let me tell you something.
I like T.D. Jakes.
T.D. Jakes is a beast.
I like T.D. Jakes.
You guys sound like Christian.
Wait a minute. Listen, first of all, I am not in any way trying to oppose Christianity any more than any other religion. I think
all religions are
there to control the minds and actions of people.
I agree.
Catholics. Let's talk about Catholics. Okay, so anytime you have a human being, a man, in position to hear all of the sins and confessions of people within the congregation, they don't know who he is, but he can see them. Okay, first of all, as the Bible should state, Jesus died for human beings to ask for forgiveness and be forgiven for our sins, correct?
Fact. Sacrifice.
Okay, and that sacrifice come when you accept Jesus and you believe he was resurrected on the third day.
Hold up now.
But I'm just saying, I'm talking about as the Bible would state.
As the Bible says, okay.
So if that is true, why do I have to go through yet another representative of God? I'm going through yet another representative. So first
I want to talk to your boss.
I want to, you know what I'm saying? Can I speak to your manager, sir? You know what I'm saying? So you got this person who you can't see, but he can see you. You got to tell him all your business, and he tell you some futile activity for you to do to be forgiven. Three Hail Marys and,
why that was started, though, right? You know why they have those booths and shit?
I think that it's because the preachers want to use the confessions against the congregation.
That's how it started.
So if I'm in the confession booth and I say, "Man, I cheated on my wife, and I'm so sorry," da, 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 da. And he say, "Oh, you did."
Yep.
So then he pull up on your wife at communion. You know your husband said he cheated on you. So why don't you meet me in the
Absolutely.
And you're hoping that guy is the mayor, the whoever who runs the city, because honestly, when we ask who run things, the church. That's who's running
the church.
And most communities,
you know why they go to the church? Because they know that the church had control of the minds of the people, of the masses. If you can go to any leader of a church, and he has a congregation of hundreds to thousands. So if I'm a politician, I'm going to go to this church because I know if I get him,
it's over.
I get all these people.
I got all these people.
And they come in. The congregation, don't they just go so easy?
And that's why.
Whatever he says up there, I'm with him.
That's why you seeing these pastors and preachers be using the word to get pussy.
Man.
You know what I'm saying? That's using the word to get head.
Church is where you get pussy. Everybody knows that if you've been going to church.
I ain't never went to church pool.
All right, well, when I was young, I used to go to church.
I ain't never got no pussy in church.
The girls at church, you be in the sermon, the girls at church are the freakiest ever.
Yeah, but you ain't fuck them in the church, five.
You fuck them after church, and you fill them up in church.
Yeah, yeah.
You what?
You fill them up in church. Why they singing with the, doing all the partying?
Yeah, you bugging.
Get your feels on me. Let them do what it is.
Yo, you bugging.
All right, that's why I take care of you. Sit right here.
You know what's so...
Stop it.
She in there praising and you in there palming.
No, I'm trying to tell you, the girls at church are more
aggressive. She praying and you praying.
These girls have... I'm just saying, people at church are a little... what's the word when you don't really go nowhere and kind of boxed in?
Isolated.
There's a lot of isolation going on in church. A lot of lusting going on, too. You know, if you're in church, you got a girlfriend or something, you can't kiss your girlfriend 14. Your mom ain't having that. You know what I'm saying? You got to get married.
But those be the ones. I see what
you're
saying.
Those be the ones right now.
Yeah.
Now we'll take a pause on the conversation from Expeditiously to focus on something we all need to do. That is help people who need help the most. So I'm going to take your attention. I'm going to place it on one of my very important visionary team members. Her name is Dina. Perhaps you've heard of her. A couple of my podcasts, even maybe on Family Hustle or something like that. But I refer to her as Single Dina because she's been looking for love and companionship. I guess now she'll take a situationship. But it's been a long time. Yeah, I'm just saying, it's been a long time. And it's been a long, hard road.
Lord.
Long, hard road. Not the way you're thinking about it. Now, how does Dina know if she finds someone, miraculously all of a sudden, how will she know that her friends will like the person she selects? Well, luckily for Dina, there's a new app called Ship. Yep, S-H-I-P, Ship. As in relationship, situationship, companionship, you know, all of these ships. Or the ship that you use to sail the French Riviera when you find the man of your dreams, Dina.
Nice.
We can call it Ship because we're going to let you swipe for your friends, okay? If you're single, like Dina, you invite a group of friends to join your crew. I'm sure I'll be in Dina's crew.
It's important that people around you like who you are dating. That's an important factor.
That's what's kept you single so long, Dina?
No, I don't want to hear what anybody has to say.
All right, cool. Well, those friends that you put in your crew can help you find matches. And the best part is, if you're not single and you've been successful at finding a companion like me, you can still join to help your friends out. You don't need to make a profile or anything like that. You just join your friends and put them in your crew and you start swiping. Period. All right.
Let's see how this works.
Yeah, I think one of the fun things about Ship is there's a group chat with your crew, so all of Dina's friends will be able to talk about which guy or girl she feels is right for her.
Oh, Lord.
Hey, man, it's got almost 2020. Approach 2020 now.
Right,
you got to
we'll
keep
stay open. We'll stay
open. Got to stay open-minded here, Dina. You know what I mean? You know, because once we get, you know, a little up in, can't afford to be so choosy. So,
okay.
You know what I'm saying?
You know what?
Just, you know, hey, man, you're supposed to like who like you
Sir,
at this point, okay?
Just give me the app.
Okay, well, I think it'll be kind of funny to see who I choose is compatible for Dina.
I would love to see this.
Versus everyone else. Yeah, I like the story of it all. You see what I'm saying? This is about finding love and loyalty. Whatever you choose to do for yourself, just know, finding a date or finding companionship or finding a relationship or a situationship is more fun if you do it with friends. So you, Dina, should download Ship, the dating app that lets you swipe with your friends.
I'm going to do it right now.
Yes, that's S-H-I-P. That's S-H-I-P. Search for Ship Dating in the App Store and start swiping today. So, Dina, you should be that much closer to finding you something that you can call your, I guess...
A boyfriend? Husband?
Or girlfriend. I mean, whatever you like, man. I mean,
just know the next time we get on this podcast, I might be dating somebody.
Yeah, with Ship. Ship is going to help you
find
someone.
Might be a situation. Could be a situation.
You know what I'm saying? Could be a situation. Ship.
You know the Bible says you can't find God in any man-made temple? But then they send us to church every Sunday.
Wow. Yeah. That was deep.
That's not deepest in the Bible.
Nah, but I'm saying, but look though, right? Jesus I've never seen where it say Jesus, David, Moses, where they spoke to God and it say it happened in a church.
Nah.
It's always in the wilderness, at the burning bush.
Because that's all earth, that's God's turf.
Outside.
Yeah, the earth is God's turf.
You dig what
I'm saying? He created all of this. You know what I'm saying?
God ain't going to say, meet me in the building right
now. No. Not even a little bit. Not even a little bit. That's the Christianity, the impact on Christianity in the black community, man, is the reason that you see, like, in Charleston, South Carolina, when you see, like, the church shooting that happened there when the 9 people got shot in Emmanuel AME, or even the thing with Amber Geiger, that forgiveness they talk about, that comes directly from Christianity. You ever seen, watch Birth of a Nation, the story about Nat Turner,
of course, yeah,
and it breaks it down exactly how they used to use religion to control us, use religion to keep us in line, and that's
just that scripture that you quoted earlier, respect your master, and fear them.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying?
They slipped that in there. Corinthians, whatever, they slipped that.
It was Ephesians. I think it's Ephesians 6:5, if I'm not mistaken.
Slavery
I mean, but when you have that kind of talk, it's hard. My God ain't going to tell me no shit like
that. Hell no.
My God ain't finna tell me that.
Like, when I saw that judge get off the stand and hug her,
that fucking
when you ever seen a judge hug somebody they sentenced? A murderer.
Never. Like, that shit is crazy.
That's unprecedented.
Come on, man.
She should not be. Are you allowed to do that?
I didn't know. I thought that when the judge do the sentence, they got to go on about their business in their chambers.
And while she was black.
Well, we also saw, at least this is allegedly, she was supported by the same police department that the young lady who she sentenced worked for.
Oh.
You know, because, you know, judges are elected officials. So in her last election, she was supported by the police department that the lady worked for who she sentenced. Now, speaking of this, the lady we're talking about is Amber Geiger. She gets 10 years for a murder sentence.
Lord have mercy.
For fatally shooting Botham Jean.
For no reason.
Like, yes. This former Dallas police officer, she killed the brother Botham Jean in his apartment last year. She headed to prison to begin a 10-year sentence. Now, my uncle got 10 years for a brick.
Damn.
That's not that long.
One brick.
And she get 10 for a body.
And they say she probably get out of 5.
She probably gonna get out in less than that.
How?
Because if you see that show that they put on in the courtroom today with the judge hugging her and the brother saying, I don't want her to go to jail.
She been pushing that paperwork.
Word, she probably do like 2.
Why did the brother say that?
Man, I have
that's a
Christianity.
That's a hating ass brother, man. That's a hating ass brother. If that was my brother, yo, that's a hate. If I was his uncle, somebody need to check him.
Nah,
you heard what he said? My family has been going about to say this.
Man, that shit was...
We too quick to forgive.
It was disturbing. That wasn't even forgiving. That's more like... You just turned a blind eye. That's not, I don't think that's like genuine.
I
want to
do more research on the brother that died.
Somebody told me forgiveness is when you truly forgive is when you realize that you're not going that you can't do anything to the person that harmed you.
Mm.
Like when somebody does something to you and you have the means and the resources and the ability
and you just let them
to do something to them, but you say, you know what? I forgive them. You know what I mean? They said people that forgive usually can't do anything to the person that did something to them. So that's why they forgive, because they have nothing else to do.
I've seen that though on the street. I've seen people be tough, get their ass beat, you know what I'm saying? And then, you know, you be like, yo, you ready to go put some work in?
Like, nah, they got
it.
Put some work in.
He got it. He got it. Like, oh, I don't want no
you
problem.
Really forgive him. All right, cool. Get out the streets, man.
Yeah.
So when I see that brother say that on that stand today, it's like, he know he ain't gonna do nothing to him.
Yeah.
What can he do? What can he get done?
You can look at him and tell.
I believe there was some visits to the family to kind of...
From who?
Coerce
from the
them.
Gang? The police gang?
The police department.
So. Yes. They still gotta live there.
Duh.
She a cop, 5.
You dig what I'm saying? And she got the complexion for the connection.
And protection.
I miss the good old days, man.
What was the good old days? There was never no good old days.
Good old days.
Forgive me, but when the cops used to do stuff and it used to be consequences.
There
used to be a time period if a police officer was in the hood doing some shit.
You're talking about before integration. You're talking
about the 90s. I remember
the 90s.
In the 97, 96, when I walked the streets of Brooklyn, if a police officer, I could be 15, 2 police officers walking up the block, if I get them niggas the wrong door, I'd be like, fuck out of here. Them niggas would turn around and be like, not this street, and keep it moving. They're not calling for backup or what you say? None of that shit. It's like, nigga, what? Don't make me get make 100 niggas come out.
So you saying they not pussy no more?
They have no respect for nothing.
Yeah, that's what you said.
It sounded to me like you were saying
so
they were pussy back
then. The police to the point where now they've over militarized.
It's your
themselves.
Fault.
It's not our fault.
That's what you just said.
We needed to have that in the hood. This is our hood.
Nah.
Our neighborhood.
It ain't our neighborhood.
Nope, not if you don't
own
it.
No, it's not. What ownership?
Exactly.
What do we own within this neighborhood?
Back in the days, there's people
No,
used to be the candy lady on the block.
Yeah,
there. She was
those are renters. Those are tenants.
Well, we just lost control. Like, the police should not be governing the hood. You
know I mean? I like the days of the Black Panthers, when the Black Panthers used to police the police.
That's fire.
The shit Five was talking about just now, I don't know what he's talking about.
I'm talking about street level.
The Black Panthers were street dudes?
Absolutely.
No, the Black Panthers 100%. Were not street dudes.
You crazy.
Yeah, what are you talking about,
Black Panthers sold drugs?
Man, zip your mom's the word.
I think the Black Panthers were good people, man.
I never say it.
Shit. Black Panthers was definitely street dude.
I never say it.
I didn't know that. Oh, Huey P. Yeah, he was, man. Okay.
And Bobby Seale.
Bobby Seale, absolutely.
You know what
I'm
saying?
The NOI and all them was reformed street
Asada
dudes.
Asada Shakur.
Yeah. You talking about
Matulu, Shakur.
Absolutely. Like, you ain't talking about no suckers?
Yeah.
I didn't know they was out there like that.
Listen, you had to be out there like that, and you had to have the heart
There's
to be out there policing the police. You know what I'm saying? You out there with your guns, the police out there with their guns, you just making sure shit goes smooth.
That was a good time.
That
was great because, you know, they actually, they attended to the needs within the community.
Yes.
And they knew the needs of the community because they were members of the
community.
Absolutely, 100%. For instance, I think one of the first things they did was, there was this intersection where kids had a crosswalk. Okay, and kids had to cross the street to go to school, and there was no stop sign, no red light. And cars would come flying down there, and a kid got hit and died.
Whoa.
So the Black Panther would stand out there with their pistols and make sure that the cars would stop so the kid could cross back and forth to go to school, and made the city, encouraged or, you know, kind of,
make something happen.
Yeah, they put up a stop sign or a red light, something like that. But so that was like those are the type of things that the Black Panthers were actually.
Yo, shout out to the Black
present
Panthers
to
man.
Do.
Didn't Huey P. fuck up though? He fucked up.
What you mean? Everybody fuck up. You fucked up.
Oh, I'm good.
Nah, man, you done fucked up.
I don't
up.
Listen to
oh,
nothing.
A long time ago. Yeah,
I don't listen to nothing they say about any of our Black leaders.
Mm-mm.
Every single one of our Black leaders, they've tried to defame their name in some way,
man,
shape, or form.
Every
single one.
It was a movie that just
everybody
came out.
Historically, man, fuck the movie. Listen, everybody historically, no matter what color you are, everybody got dirt. Everybody done did
absolutely
bullshit. Everybody done fallen short of the glory. So why is it that it's so publicized when we do it? You know what I mean?
They wanted to defame our leaders' names because they don't want us to follow our leaders.
It's true.
You know what I'm saying? If I put dirt on Malcolm X's name, Martin Luther King Jr.'s name, Huey P. Newton, Marcus Garvey, whoever it was,
right,
it makes you be like, man, I'm not even going to study on that person.
Right. Because
that person is
foul. Especially Malcolm X, and he's a good person to study on, but they throw dirt on him every few years.
Oh, my God.
Every time you turn the corner, there's a new Malcolm X room. I'm like, damn, man, fuck it, man.
And they do things on purpose. I remember when they tried to say Malcolm X was gay.
Yeah, I don't believe
that
at all.
I've seen that.
I don't believe that at all.
But they know that there's a certain stigma
yes,
in the Black community. You know what I'm saying? So they think that would discourage.
That's
people.
Why you need to watch that Harlem, the Godfather Harlem.
I heard that shit is amazing.
Malcolm X is gangster. No, it really is. It really is. Like, Malcolm X, and then it shows you Malcolm was really helping Bumpy Johnson, and at the same time, there's a lot going on.
And see, that's what I'm talking about. Somebody like Malcolm, only somebody like Malcolm would understand the need for somebody like Bumpy and would actually get with him to try to make some change.
We can't clean up the whole hood, but we're going to clean up most of it. Except for where Bumpy's at.
And I heard he's still telling Bumpy he need to get his shit together.
No, he pressed
process.
Him a few times.
Yeah.
He pressed him a few times. He's like,
whoa. I think that's, you know, that's
he's
necessary.
He's kind of gangster.
I think all of that stuff is necessary, man. You know, with no order, there's chaos.
Yes.
And I think that's the problem, man. We've separated all of our leaders from our communities, and the youngsters run amok. You dig? And when the youngsters run amok, there are no consequences, you know, aside from the legalities. There are no, you know what I'm saying?
Agreed.
Ain't no accountability.
Ain't no checks and balances in the hood no more.
Yeah.
Makes it hard to help.
What do you mean?
You go there, try to help out, and everybody running amok, and then, you know, the leader get no respect. He got beat up, robbed, shot. You're like, you know what? Fuck the hood. You know what I mean? Or Nipsey Hussle situation. You out here helping, and somehow the hood, you know what I'm saying?
The only way one could say that is if they don't have a genuine love, respect, or appreciation for themselves. Mm-hmm. Self-hate is what will, that's what's going to cause you to turn your back on people that look like you. You know what I mean? Turn your back on people who came from the same places that you came from. Like, for instance, you from Brooklyn. Okay, so you go back to Brooklyn and you see motherfuckers who walk in the same street, going to the same school you went to, having the same struggles that you had. And if all you got to say is, man, fuck them folk. And that,
no, that's fucked up.
That shows, yeah. That shows, that's really projection. That shows, like, how you feel about yourself.
No, I agree with that.
Yeah, you know I mean? But the answer to the black, the answer to the community for us has always been, the answer to the problems within our community have always been get rich enough to move out and never look back.
And that's why the community stayed fucked up, because ain't nobody putting nothing back into the hood.
But it is a little hard, though. I'm just telling you. It's a little hard when you come on Saturday.
Everything is hard, man. You know what I'm saying? Beating the murder case is hard. You going to give up?
Not me, personally. I'm just saying I can see how some people go. Because, look, I go back to the hood all the time. But there's definitely time I'm like, I'm not fucking with the hood. And I don't care what the hood says. I'm from the hood. I help y'all when I, you know what I mean? But I'm not here to just cater to you people who don't care because we in the hood.
But you're not saying fuck the whole hood, though. You're just saying fuck some individuals in
I'm
the hood.
I'm keeping it real. Sometimes it's fuck the hood.
Nah, yeah. Man. Yeah, what you're saying is that you don't want to subject yourself to the environment for whatever
sometimes
reason.
The environment is not healthy for you to even go help.
But you can't go back out there with a gun in your waist five and stand on the corner like you used to. Arms.
You don't want to go out there to go in to help somebody. They say, yo, guess what? We don't fucking want your help. We don't care if you lived over here. What you doing? Get the fuck out of here. We happy being broke and poor.
Yeah, but what about the people? What about the people?
That's true too.
What about the people who do appreciate your help, though?
Those are the people that you say come down to the
and that's
community
it.
Center. You know
that's
what I mean?
It. That's what you focus on. You focus on the next little five in the hood.
That is true, though.
You have to go find them, though. Damn, yeah. You know what I mean?
I have heard many times that you cannot help our people if they know they're being helped.
Oh, shit, niggas don't like that.
You know what I mean?
I don't understand that. You take assistance from everybody else. You take government assistance.
You know what I'm saying? It's from us, though. It's like pride, ego. You know what I mean? Why has he done so good? He ain't perfect.
We got to swallow our pride and ego and stuff like that.
Agreed.
Because, you know, you get to the hood and, you know, somebody will be saying to you, like, oh, who are you to be helping me? You ain't nobody. I remember you when you was just running around here doing X, Y, and Z. You got to block all that out and say, you know what?
You got to give him a hug.
That's it. That's it. You got to love our people in spite of themselves, man.
See, this is the thing. There's a difference between, of course, how we see it is, we see it as we are doing something for somebody, right? They see it as we're doing something to somebody.
Oh. Wow, that's
when
a bad
what
reason.
It should be is we're doing something with.
There you go.
You dig what I'm saying? There you go. So there, it has to be a natural progression. So we can gain some kind of equal ground, man, because we've been on this hamster wheel for decades.
Yeah, but that's why I say you got to just silence the noise and just go help, man. Like I do so much stuff in my town. I do book bag giveaways, turkey drives.
Right, right.
Genuine.
Yeah, and I see the appreciation that be on these people's faces, yeah, man. Right. I remember this summer, man, I'm out there and it's pouring rain. I did a fish fry, giving away free fish, free shrimp. Fries, all of that. We giving away backpacks from Spray Ground. And I seen this little kid running around with no shoes on.
Damn.
And I'm like, bro, why you ain't got no shoes on? It's raining. He's like, I don't want my shoes to get messed up. That's the only pair of shoes I got. Whoa. You know what I'm saying?
Damn.
And I'm like, well, damn, you ain't getting no book bag. He's like, nah, all the book bags was out. I'm like, man, where your mom at?
Damn.
Go put something in her pocket, right? Then come to find out, 20, 30 minutes later, they've been living in a hotel. She ain't even tell me that.
Damn.
One of my partners told me that. Like, man, you know they living out of a hotel right now at X, Y, and Z. But I'm just doing something out the goodness of my heart because I saw the condition of my people.
Right.
So it's just like, yo, we can't ever, like, turn our back on the hood.
Well, the hood respects genuine, too. Like, even if you come to the hood and they know, like, all right, I don't want to get help, but he's being real. Right. They will give you 20 minutes of time and respect. But it'll just be a time that, all right, I'm going back upstairs. You know what I'm saying? But they'll give you that respect if they know you're official and being real.
You're listening to Expeditiously on Podcast One. Tip T.I. Harris here, taking a pause on the discussion expeditiously to talk about a subject that affects just about everybody. I'm talking about mental health. Life can be stressful, and most of us have been enduring environments and circumstances, whether it's work, family, just surviving being black. in the hood. Like, we have to find time to kind of unpack and discuss our feelings and kind of evaluate ourselves with all that stress. Sometimes you just, you know what I'm saying, need someone to hear you out and not let shit fester where, you know, and that's where Talkspace comes in. Talkspace online therapy makes taking care of your mental health more affordable and convenient than ever before. With Talkspace, you don't have to sit down face to face with someone to tell them what you're going through necessarily. You can send your therapist unlimited text, audio, picture, and video messages from anywhere at any time. Okay, look, I'm sure you're busy because I'm busy. You know what I mean? I assume other people out there trying to get to opportunities just like I am. But that doesn't mean that you can't find a therapist to help you through some tough times, all right? No matter what you're going through, you're not alone. Everybody has problems. The world isn't a perfect place, and we aren't perfect people. So you can join more than 1 million who say they feel happier with Talkspace, all right? Talkspace is affordable. 1 month of therapy on the Talkspace platform costs about the same amount as a single face-to-face session. Best of all, you'll never have to wait a week to share what's on your mind. You dig what I'm saying? Talkspace has more than 5,000 licensed therapists who are experienced in addressing the challenges we all face. And again, I'm going to repeat, you're not alone. We all face these challenges. I don't want to stigmatize. I think that we as a people need to get away from stigmatizing therapy and therapists and, you know, how we deal with mental health. Once you get it out of your system, you'll even if you just listen to yourself, say how you feel, you're able to evaluate it different and you can apply different methods and strategies. Now, to get you matched up with your perfect therapist for a fraction of the price of traditional therapy, go to Talkspace.com. Make sure to use the code TIP to get $65 off of your first month and show your support for the show. That's TIP and Talkspace.com. Finally, something helpful on the internet. Hey, where you think you going? The show ain't over yet, man. Expeditiously continue. How about this story?
Come on, man.
Now, this is something that, you know, all of us are in the community of hip-hop. We are familiar with this story, but it has progressed, though. Three men arrested in connection with Mac Miller's death. Oh. They've now been indicted and accused of dealing counterfeit oxycodone that caused his death.
Mm.
A federal grand jury handed up the indictments of these three guys. I ain't gonna say their name. In a California federal court, the pills Mac received were counterfeit and contained fentanyl, the powerful synthetic opioid 50 times more potent than heroin.
That's just crazy, man.
Rest in peace, Mac.
Rest in peace,
yeah,
Mac.
Yeah, man. God bless him.
I heard that story, man. I'm like, man, if they start arresting drug dealers for the people that we
well, I think what they might have killed. Though, man. Now, are they arresting them for selling drugs, or are they arresting them because
they thought they got the murder charge?
Now, what I'm saying is, but are they arresting them because it was counterfeit oxycodone?
Yeah, so you saying if it was just a regular overdose.
Real oxycodone, yeah. I feel like they probably wouldn't be pursuing it. So
yeah, because if you sell a counterfeit, you intended to kill. You knew.
I mean, nah, it ain't that you knew. It's just
you got them things. You don't know how to kill people.
Nah, man, because I'm sure they sold them to other people that didn't die.
Right.
Well, you killed Mac Miller. You gonna pay for that one?
Man, I'm saying I think that the fact that they aren't authentic, you know, substances.
Had to be, because people have overdosed before.
Absolutely.
They died, and I ain't never heard them arrested them.
That's what I'm trying to say. People have overdosed.
Yeah, I was going to say, how do you find them?
I think it's the counterfeit part, because you got to think about that. Now, opioids, that's the government's business.
Yeah.
That's the, you know, just as well as crack was the government business in the 80s and 90s.
Oh, you selling fake shit?
Oh, you got fake shit, huh?
Yeah, I don't mind them going to jail.
And we put the real shit on the streets? Oh, no.
I don't mind them going to jail for that, because back in the day, I bought a half ounce of crack, and it was like mostly isotol, so it wasn't no cocaine.
You bought that for somebody like me?
Yes.
Yeah, that's hard.
I remember the dude's name and everything.
Fuck the game up.
That actually what made me stop smoking crack.
I go to, I'm one of them people that back in the day, I was a regular drug dealer with y'all, and then I go be over there and be selling the fake shit.
That was the worst feeling in the world. I was stuck with that half ounce for months.
That shit fucked up.
Man, you may have threw that shit away.
I did. I bought a quarter spoon or something else, 7 grams or something else, and sold that to try to get the money back to pay the dude his little $500
for the half ounce. Back in the days, if you went to Harlem to buy weed, anybody knows this, if you went uptown to buy weed, your ass would get robbed. You get sneak thieved like no other. I'm talking about like right in front of you, like, yo, I'm going right here. The door's right here. Like, all right, he walk out to another apartment and keep it moving. You be in the hallway like,
shit, for man, I ain't never gave nobody no money of mine and let him walk out no dough.
I'm saying they walk in his crib. Like, imagine you in the apartment hallway, I walk in the apartment, walk out down the hall.
I ain't never did that. I'm going to come on at the same time.
Yeah, I don't mind them drug dealers going to jail.
Now, speaking of the drug trade, man, I read that you were arrested for drugs and your pops, he refused to pay your bail.
Yeah, the first time I ever went to jail was for assault and battery with intent to kill. Mm. And I was in high school, and already I got kicked out of one high school. I got kicked out of Berkeley High School. Mm-hmm. And they sent me to Scranton High School because that's where my mom used to teach.
Right.
And
your mom was a teacher?
English teacher in Berkeley County.
Okay.
30 plus years.
And what ended up happening?
Well, for that case, I was with my homeboys, my partners, and we was in this neighborhood because it was a new school. So we in this other neighborhood kicking it with some girls.
Yeah.
And then some of the dudes in the neighborhood came riding by. We was on our fucking Boys in the Hood shit, like we at the movie theater drive-thru. Like, what's up? You got a problem, cuz? All that bullshit.
Yeah.
And then we went to Burger King or McDonald's, and when we was leaving, they pulled up beside us.
Mm.
And my partner had a little 25, and he let it go. And so they came and arrested me from high school the next day.
Damn.
And my dumb ass wrote a whole statement, you know, sending the police on a wild goose chase saying I was hitchhiking and I was with some hitchhikers. I don't know the people I was with, X, Y, and Z. Then they ended up locking my partner up. So we ended up sitting in jail. And my father at the time, he was like, man, I'm not paying you no bail just because of the way I was wilding.
Damn.
So I was wilding in school. He always told me I'm going to end up in jail dead or broke sitting under the tree if I didn't change my ways. So right. That time in the county jail, he let me sit there for like 50 days.
Yeah. That's a long time.
Yeah. And he was waiting on that bond to get reduced, too, though.
He knew something.
He was waiting on that bond to get reduced.
Would you consider that to be like a turning point for you in your life?
Crazy. Nah. Because I got arrested like 3-4 more times after that. Me and my pops got arrested
at
together.
At that age?
You and your pops got arrested together.
Hell yeah.
Let's talk about that.
They used to think my pops was a kingpin. Salute to my pops, Larry McKelvey in Moss Corner, South Carolina. They used to think he was some type of drug kingpin for whatever reason.
Right.
And he was leaving his little sugar shack one day, and he had his girlfriend with him, and they pulled him over, searched him, and he had like less than a gram of coke under the brim of his hat.
What?
So they used that to come search my mother's house. And I literally had just came in from the block, and I had a capsule of crack, and I remember putting it in a coat jacket in my closet, and the coat jacket had a hole in the inside pocket, so it dropped all the way to the inner lining. So when the police came to knock on the door, I'm like, oh shit. And they wanted my mom to sign a warrant to search the house. I'm telling my mom, you ain't got to sign the warrant. My mom ain't no better. She a Jehovah's Witness, English teacher. I'm like, you don't got to sign the warrant. She signed the warrant because they told her, it was like, if you don't sign it, we're going to come back and kick the door and whatever.
Damn.
Well, come back.
Nah.
And this should be empty as hell.
So she signed the warrant and they searched the house. Never found the capsule of crack I had in the coat.
Yeah, because you had the secret stash. Absolutely. Remember, yeah, that's
but what they did find was in the trash can, I had a baggie that had some residue on it.
Oh, the baggie shit. You go to jail for
so
baggie.
They took me to jail for less than a gram of coke. So they had me and my father sitting in the holding cell for a whole weekend for less than a gram of cocaine.
Hey, say what's happening, man. This is Tip T.I. Harris, and as you probably have noticed, it's week 7 of football now. As much as it pains me to say, currently my Atlanta Falcons are 4th in the NFC. Halfway through the season, anything can happen. There's a lot more football to be played. I'm just wondering, like, you know what I'm saying? I'm wondering, because ever since we changed this offensive coordinator, we got rid of Shanahan in the Super Bowl, and then we've come back, and I guess whoever stepped into those shoes may not be having the best of times. But if you're not an Atlanta Falcons fan and you're actually enjoying this season, you could be following your favorite team. Head over to betonline.ag where you can win $500 by playing against your favorite podcast host, like yours truly. NFL college football action continues to heat up this week with some big games on the schedule that you're not going to want to miss out on. Now, I'm going to give you the biggest matchups of the week You know, I'm going to give you my picks. The first big matchup of the week, Oakland at Green Bay. Yeah, well, I'm going to go with Oakland. Minnesota at Detroit. I'm going to go with Detroit. Going with the first thing that comes to mind, New Orleans and Chicago. That is a tough one. I'm going to go with Chicago on that one. Baltimore at Seattle. I'm going to go with Seattle, obviously. Philly at Dallas. I believe Philadelphia will be the winner. Regardless of who your choices are for the week, you can visit friends and exclusive partner at Podcast One, betonline.ag, to take advantage of the best bonuses in the business. Sign up for a free account and make sure to use that promo code Podcast1 for your 50% sign-up bonus. Join the conversation on Twitter with hashtag SportsNetChallenge. All right? Now, let's get back to expeditiously. So how do you go from that moment to when you went and got an internship at a radio station for the first time?
Because my father used to always tell me, if I don't change my life, my lifestyle, I'm going to end up in jail, dead, or broke sitting under the tree. So after bumping my head a couple times and realizing, like, this nigga right. We going to jail. I got partners that's getting killed. I got older cousins that's really broke sitting under the tree. People that I used to look up to.
Right.
So I'm like, man, I don't want to be one of them.
Hell no.
So what I started doing, I just started working odd jobs. So I worked at a warehouse. I worked at a flower garden. I worked at a clothing store in the mall called Demo. I worked at a telemarketing
place.
Real
hustler.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? By any means.
And I used to want to rap. So I was sitting in the recording studio one day, and I met a local radio personality named Willie Will. And I just asked him, I'm like, yo, how you getting the radio? And he was like, I went down there. He said, I got an internship. And I said, it's that easy? I can just go down there and get an internship? This is 1998, Charleston, South Carolina. And he like, yeah, you ain't got to be in school or nothing. That's information. That's why we got to share information with each other. Because if nobody had told me that, I wouldn't even have thought that I could go down there.
And guess what? He still wouldn't have told you had you not asked.
That's a fact. Yeah. That's a fact. So I went down there, filled out the internship papers, and that's how I got my foot in the game of radio.
Right.
But you took the internship. See, that's a lot of things people want to skip past.
That's not a paid internship.
Nah.
You worked for free for about 3 months, right?
Hell yeah. For no, longer than that.
What?
I worked for free for like a year.
Oh, shit.
Hell yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
My first paid position was... In the promotions department. So you're still a glorified intern. You're just making $5-6 an hour. You know what I'm saying?
Now, the drug trade that we knew back then versus right now, okay, when it was the war on drugs and the crack epidemic, they jailed us.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now that it's an opioid epidemic,
you get to go to rehab.
It's rehab and help. Treatment.
Yeah.
I mean,
damn.
Of course. I mean, and then check this out. You know, the guys that came out with, you know, the Oxycontin that got the lawsuit, and they were supposed to pay out, what was it, $21 billion or something like that.
It was a crazy number.
They filed for bankruptcy.
Mm.
Remix.
So, yeah, that's nice.
Yeah, we're not paying you guys shit.
They filed for bankruptcy, so...
Well, I owe you guys nothing. In fact, I'm leaving.
See, get it like the Red Cross, they say. Like, how in the hell does... Like, how
you talking about Johnson & Johnson, right?
No, that's not Johnson & Johnson.
It was some pharmaceutical company. Yeah.
But it's not Johnson & Johnson.
I did hear that story.
Yeah, that...
Oh, Purdue.
Okay.
Purdue.
Purdue chicken?
No. Wait a minute.
They make pills too?
Hey, man.
These niggas.
Put some brakes on your skates now. Wait a minute. But yeah, so and now the people, you know what I'm saying, actually the ruling went in the favor of the people, and Purdue saw fit to file bankruptcy so they wouldn't have to pay. How in the hell can that be allowed to happen?
Shit, that's what corporations do all the time. Yeah.
I don't think they were going to pay in the first place. Hey. They said that to get you feeling good and then let you know this
that's
is what's
it.
Really
bankruptcy.
Going on.
We out. Hell yeah.
How many times are you allowed to file bankruptcy?
He had the airline. Both of them shits went up.
And the college. Yeah.
That's how you erase your debt. Companies be in the hole. They're like, you know what? File bankruptcy. I know corporations that want to do that.
Damn.
You know what I'm saying? In order to not have to pay the debt. They'd rather just file bankruptcy, get that shit wiped off and start anew. Absolutely.
Damn. Did you hear about this this Sunday service, the Sunday service walkouts in New York?
They say
Kanye, man, had a Sunday service and it sparked, you know, it prompted people to walk out.
Why? Was it too long?
Well,
if service is too long, I don't mind you walking out.
Yeah, well, you know.
I wasn't at the last service, but I seen some stuff at the last service. The one in Atlanta, I missed that one.
I mean, it wasn't Kanye's fault, though.
I like Kanye's Sunday service when he's in the woods. That was the dope.
Like you said,
that was the dope thing. We was in the woods.
Don't find God in a man-made building.
Yeah, this church tour thing.
It make it too churchy.
I don't like church. Yeah, but I seen him in there. I was like, what is he doing? And then he's not preaching.
Yeah.
The preacher of the church, he got the mic fine. All right, everybody, we got Kanye here tonight. We need to.
Yeah.
Like, come on,
Vince. They giving Kanye too much flack for that shit, though.
Yeah, I feel that he's genuine.
I mean, one of his first big hits was Jesus Walks.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Like, it ain't like he'd never been
leaning.
Yeah, it's not like he hasn't been leaning on Christ forever. Like Jesus Walks was the same type of record where everybody's like, oh, this ain't going to play on the radio. You can't make a record about Jesus.
Jesus Walks was in the club, dog. Yeah,
Jesus Walks was in the club.
I mean, I was in the club a few times smoking, like. I'm lusting bitches.
Jesus did not tell you anything was wrong with marijuana.
Exactly.
The burning bush.
The burning bush.
Singing Jesus Walks? I'm like, this shit's crazy.
Now, was that
Forgive
Moses?
Me, Father.
I think it was Moses.
That Moses at the burning bush?
Yeah.
Moses was getting high, man.
Moses was getting definitely
Moses was getting high, man.
I think they done scared Kanye into not putting his album out, too.
Mm-hmm. He's about to do too much.
Nah, I just think that he did the church tour. And he put it out.
To see.
And I don't think he got the reviews he wanted. And I think he decided to take a step back.
Mm. I don't think a church tour was the. I think, like you said, he should have kept it in the wilderness.
Kept it in the wilderness. Do it in the parks. He should do it in Central Park.
That would have been fine. See, that's what I'm saying. I believe that's what's causing all the flack. Because as it's stated here, Brother Yeezus held his infamous, or should I say, his celebrated Sunday service at the Greater Allen AME Cathedral in Queens.
That's the problem. The cathedral?
And a number of regular churchgoers walked out mid-performance.
I get it, because they came for the word. That's a Sunday, too?
But it comes at the end, though. After the word is, you know what I'm saying, after they do the collection, the fifth collection, and they finish.
You see what I'm saying?
You know, with the word.
They said they started high up there. They went to 50,000. They went to
20,000.
Nah, it's 20 people. What he said was, I need 20 people to stand up and dedicate $1,000.
Nah.
Holy shit.
And he counted them out. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. He counted up 23.
In New York?
Nah.
In Atlanta. Okay, when y'all. Okay, got you.
That's disturbing.
Yeah, but you know, we've already talked about that. This water under the
bed. I just don't think they should put a number on it. You know what I'm saying? You can't tell me what to give.
Man. Hey, man, you got some people who got they got your W-2s.
Yeah.
Like
where you sit in the church, like the first couple of rows, and that's the bank rows. You know what I'm saying?
I'm not gonna lie. When I went to Bishop T.D. Jakes Church in the Potter's House, man, that sermon was so fire. I felt like I ain't had enough money.
What?
Yes. So when they started passing the slips around, he got the slip to where you could put your credit card information and all of that type of stuff.
What?
I gave him a band.
You gave T.D. Jakes a band.
Man, listen, his sermon was that good.
I'm not giving nobody any of the preachers that's on TV preaching. I'm done.
Why you don't like Bishop T.D. Jakes, man?
I just told you, I don't like Creflo Dollar, T.D. Jakes. I think
T.D. for real. And he be dressing his ass off.
I like T.D., man. I ain't got no problem with him. He's not.
I believe that if you go to church, everybody has the preacher, even though he could be whatever. He might say something that serves that could help your life or be important.
It's a show. You could go see a movie that inspires you. It's a show, man.
Don't T.D. Jakes got that jet plane and all that?
Everybody got jets.
He deserves it.
No.
He got bars.
What's deserved?
I'm gonna tell you why.
Funny, bro?
No, we talked about people being gifted, right?
Mm-hmm,
so you talk about gifted ball players, gifted rappers. He's a gifted pastor. He's an anointed human. If you listen to him, he be spitting.
That.
He got bars.
I go for that.
And I don't like preachers that yell.
I've heard a lot of pastors in my life. Bishop is up there, bro.
Mm.
Bishop is the Jay-Z of pastors. He's
Jay-Z?
That good.
Okay.
Yes, man.
You making me go check him out.
Man, I promise you, if you go to Potter
House. I like T.D. Jakes.
And it got a college arena feel.
I don't really want to go to the church, though.
I bet you like Potter
feel,
House.
It make,
oh, it's in Dallas' church.
Man. Yeah.
Make me feel like
feels,
a scam.
It feels fake.
Yes.
Mm.
It feels fake. I can have a conversation with a pastor, like, you know, just over dinner or out here in the world, and we'll get along just fine. And I feel like going into the church is like, man, this is some bullshit.
Mm. I get it.
This ain't, because it, ain't, it doesn't represent or it isn't what it was intended or how it was presented to be intended.
It's a business.
And if it is a business, I ain't got no problem with that. Just tell us, hey, man,
yes,
business is slow this week. We're going to need a little extra.
We can be slow, but real churches do that. Real churches do that.
I think he deserves it.
Smaller churches.
I think Minister Farrakhan deserve it. Man,
hold on. Wait, don't put T.D. Jakes and Farrakhan.
But I'm just talking about as far as being anointed and having that gift.
I go with Farrakhan before I, you know.
Me too.
I mean,
T.D. Jakes, like, to Farrakhan is like up there. He's the best to me.
Oh, no, Farrakhan's a beast.
I mean,
Farrakhan's a beast.
He's the best. It's been decades.
Yeah, man.
He speaks truth. You know what I'm saying?
And he bought a million out.
It's been decades.
We need another one of those.
Another million man march, man.
For what? Did we just have? I'm saying, what's going to do? Everybody just drunk beer and talked about their wives.
You telling me you went to the Million Man March drinking a beer?
Everybody who went there talked about their wives and drunk beer.
Man.
Yeah, you know, Susie. You know what I mean? It was just a bunch of men talking, rolling dice, whatever men do. Let's do all types of shit on Capitol Hill.
I wasn't in the one in the 90s. I definitely went to the Million More Movement in the 2000s.
I was in the one in the 90s.
You were there?
Yeah.
Which one was better?
I didn't go.
The one in the 90s.
The original one.
Yes.
Because that one was real. The Real Brothers was there. Yeah. See, they took the brothers off the streets by 2007.
It's like the 25th
October. I just think it would be good because, like, we need that type of unity. We need to show that type of sense of community. Mm. And I think we just need to have other brothers there telling brothers we love them and we value them and we appreciate them, man. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, I just think it would be a good reset. We press a good reset button going into a new decade.
That makes sense.
That definitely makes sense.
I got a quick question for you. I want to know how many of you guys out there actually eat home-cooked meals on a regular basis. How many of you have opportunity to? Do you cook? Are you with someone who cooks for you? Or do you just eat out of paper bags like most of America? Well, I know me, myself, personally, I love eating home-cooked meals, but you work as much as I do. Who has time to run to the grocery store all the time, every time, buy a bunch of ingredients, take them home, spend hours of your efforts, energy, and attention cooking? Now, of course, it's kind of therapeutic for me. I really love to do it. I just don't get an opportunity to do it that often. Even if you don't have the time to dedicate to meals every day, you can still enjoy home-cooked meals at your discretion with HelloFresh. HelloFresh makes cooking delicious meals at home a reality, no matter how much time you got. They're delivering weekly prep meals that you can make yourself. And so for some of y'all men out there who can't keep a woman, don't know how to cook, man, you know what I'm saying? You can, you know, put this in your back pocket. Thank me later. They have some for everyone, like craft burgers to vegetarian. And you can knock out these meals in 30 minutes. HelloFresh is perfect for the hustler with a busy schedule like yours truly. They're doing the work for you, you know, giving you just what you need, measuring out all the ingredients. Give HelloFresh a try. For $80 off your free month of HelloFresh, go to HelloFresh.com/TIP80. That's HelloFresh.com/TIP80. Go to HelloFresh.com/TIP80. So I think I got to try this. I mean, I'm going to see. I want to see if their meals are better than mine. Now, one thing I never asked you before, where did the name Charlemagne come from?
When I used to sell crack, I used to say my name was Charles or Charlie. I'm from a small town. Right. So, you know, the fiends will roll up and they'll see me and be like, oh, that's Larry's son or that's Julie's son.
Whoa.
And then they would go tell on me as if they wasn't buying it. You know what I'm saying? And so I used to have a hoodie on and just be like, my name was Charles or Charlie. And then I was reading in a history book that Charlemagne was French for Charles the Great.
Oh, you ain't got small in the hood.
I was young. I was just
still read books.
I was just like,
his mother was a teacher.
Yeah, absolutely. I grew up off the book it program, man. You had to read four books for a pizza.
I remember that shit.
Yeah,
I remember that.
You had to read four books to get a free pizza.
Yeah.
So I used to just run through books, and my mother used to always say, "Read things that don't pertain to you." So I'd be reading shit like Judy Blume and Beverly Cleary, and then I got into Supernatural, Ghost,
Tales
and
fourth grade.
Tales of fourth grade, nothing. You know what I'm saying?
Never heard.
That was Ramona Quimby, right?
Was that
Judy Blume? That was a Judy Blume book. Yeah. Ramona Quimby was Ramona Quimby, age 8. Shit like that.
Man, what is the most dangerous situation you feel like you've gotten into with your line of work? With, you know what I mean? Because I've heard stories, but...
I mean, I can't really say nothing dangerous. I mean, it's like... I got, everybody seen the Can I Get a Drop shit where they tried to jump me in front of the station.
What happened with that?
When they tried to jump me in front of the station and the dude hit me from behind.
Okay.
So I took off. Then I turned around and saw four other dudes coming at me. And I was like, oh, fuck that. So I got up out of there. You know what I'm saying?
But that's the most dangerous situation.
That wasn't the most dangerous. That was a hurtful situation because I couldn't sing the line of Motivation no more. Remember Motivation? Was like, I don't care if it's four niggas. Tell them jump. You know what I'm saying?
See, I gotta get quiet on that part.
Yeah, I had to get quiet on that part. But and I've gotten in fights across the street from the radio station. I've never felt like I've been in any danger.
Yeah, but it had never been no like life threatening danger.
Nah, man.
Like guys waiting outside the station ain't as dangerous as you know unidentified parked cars in front of your building.
That's what I'm saying.
In front of your house.
You know, I've actually had guns pulled on me in my life. You know what I'm saying? Not when I was in radio, but when I was in the street. So it's like, what is that? Right. You know what I mean? Even when you're in there interviewing artists and they get hostile and shit like that, I never felt like any of that was a threat. Never felt like it was a threat.
No, I love the way you handle yourself when the artists get hype. I love it. I love when you look at them like, what? They said that you... I'm like, that's what I'm talking about because we need that. Yeah, you know, and a lot of artists be friends.
I never felt like it was a threat. Now, I had a lot of partners from Atlanta hit me up and be like, hey, man, I just need you to know, Birdman may not have been no threat, but there was a real one sitting by you, Rollo.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't know him.
Oh, Rollo was the brother. Shout out to Rollo. That's my man. Yeah, I got mad love for Rollo.
Free the kid.
It's like just letting you know.
But Rollo ain't say nothing to you.
Nah.
Yeah Rollo exactly. ain't. He wasn't on.
He just caught a ride with Birdman. We go to Breakfast Club, huh? Right. I'm thinking.
And by the way, it was so many people on social media saying, man, he fucked up Rollo moment. We want to hear about Rollo. And I was like, I don't know who Rollo is. I didn't know who he was.
Rollo.
The only time I ever felt like somebody was going to really put hands on me in that studio was goddamn Nelly.
What? I didn't even see that.
What happened with Mo?
Cause this was 8-9 years ago, but I remember Nelly coming in there and we having a conversation and I was talking to him like, I'm like, Nelly, you kinda cold out here musically.
Ooh.
You know?
You hit him with that?
Yeah, and Nelly said you know, he said, man, I keep retainers for brothers like you, cuz.
Mm.
Nice and calm. I was like, I understand that language. Mm. You know what I'm saying? I understand that talk. You know what I'm saying? And it's like, you know, when you come from a certain environment, you know when something's a threat and when something's not.
Right.
So you coming in there with the rah-rah and you all this and that, whatever. I've seen that before. Yeah. When somebody talk to you like that,
very quiet.
Oh, pass there that paper over like this. Here, Charlamagne. What'd you say? Do you know?
With your address on it. What were you saying?
Like, commercial break.
No. But I thought, he the only person that ever felt like, all right, now he'll put hands on you.
Well, now, you guys have, I think you, Angela Yee, and DJ Envy, y'all have a, it's a very, I guess, I don't want to call it strange, but it's a different dynamic.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like each of y'all serve a different purpose. Y'all play good cop, bad cop, and indifferent cop. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
How does that, do y'all like meet?
Never.
So it's all just, you know, organic.
Well, man, I don't even talk to them until we get the radio. I don't. Me and Envy might talk outside of radio every now and then, but we don't kick it, you know what I'm saying?
That's fine.
So it's just like, that's just the natural chemistry that happens.
That makes it better.
Yeah.
I think if y'all hung out, it'll be somewhat.
It'll be watered down. Yeah. As a viewer, we'd be able to tell.
And I think because all of us were sidekicks at one point, we were all somebody's co-hosts.
Yeah.
Like Envy was Miss Jones' co-host. I was Wendy's co-host. Angela was Cypress Sounds. You know, so I think that dynamic, you know, when we come together, we just know how to work with each other.
So you started with Wendy.
No, I started in South Carolina.
You know what I'm saying? But you started, like, you know.
In New York.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got my break in New York with Wendy in 2006. Nah, I ain't talked to Wendy in 10 years. Matter of fact, Wendy called me for the first time this year after, like, 10 years. Because I don't fuck with her husband. Her husband's a clown.
Mm. Yeah, he is.
You know?
Another fake Brooklyn dude running with these Brooklyn
dudes. Wait a minute.
I'm just keeping it real.
Hey, man, I'm just saying.
Hey, listen, man.
I'm just saying.
I'm good. I'm good. Wendy Williams' husband is not.
So when they got a divorce, she called me and we chopped it up for like 3-4 hours.
Well, that's dope.
And that was a good conversation.
Now, how was that dynamic? Just in your opinion, right? When you have Wendy, who's pretty much kind of like made an empire off of sensationalizing the tough times mm-hmm. that others go through, and when she's going through her tough time, and you know, do you think that that's just par for the course?
No, or? I thought she was full of shit. Mm. You know what I'm saying? I'm being honest. I thought she was full of shit for years. And I'm saying this out of love, just because, like, you. I thought it was the weirdest thing in the world to get on the radio and talk about everybody else when I know what's happening to you at home.
Right.
I know the bullshit you was going through with your husband. I know the emotional abuse, the physical abuse, the mental abuse.
That's
seen it.
Crazy.
You know what I'm saying? So I just always thought that was wild to get up there and portray this image of a strong black woman telling everybody else to lead a man and do X, Y, and Z.
Yeah, you ain't did.
And you didn't do it. But she got the script. She did it this time. I was shocked.
I think she learned this little run right here. Because on social media, really gave it to her. That's one thing about social media. You fuck up on there. Nobody's holding back.
You can't hide no more.
That's what I'm saying. Kids are watching like, something wrong with
Wendy. Absolutely.
We
live in this era of transparency. You can't front. This ain't like the 90s when you can hide fake shit and fake shit. You're not no more. People see through all that bullshit.
I'm telling you, man. Hey, say, what's happening, man? This is a pause in the show expeditiously to encourage those of you who like my show, and I'm sure that's the absolute most of you, all of you that ain't vicious, despicable haters. For those of you that like my show, I'm going to make a suggestion to you. I suggest for you to check out the Jordan Harbinger Show, all right? It's on Podcast One as well. I recently joined Jordan as a guest on this show, and we had a very interesting conversation, a very insightful discussion that you won't want to miss. Be sure to check out the Jordan Harbinger Show every week on Podcast One and Apple Podcasts. Now, back to expeditiously. Now, another thing that you and I did together that a lot of people probably don't have the awareness of is we went to Capitol Hill together.
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. We went to Capitol Hill. We had the privilege of working together, discussing opportunity zones on both sides of the aisle. And I have also sat down to speak with you about equality for women.
Mm-hmm.
And I know you're a stand-up guy, but what is the thing that keeps Charlamagne up at night?
What is the thing that keeps me up right now?
I mean, the thing that you're trying to, you know, the thing you want to find, you most want to find a solution for.
Oh, man. I think it's the mental health conversation. Mm-hmm. And the reason I think it's the mental health thing is because I feel like if we as black people can deal with that trauma and get that in order, we'll just stop redistributing pain to each other. Like when we talk about we want unity and group operation, and we talk about we want to, you know, stop the self-hate and we want to stop hating on each other, I feel like we got to get to the root of that.
That makes sense.
You know what I'm saying?
Hurt people,
but I'm a stern believer that your thoughts become things. So if your mental ain't straight, if your mental ain't strong, nothing else is going to be strong in your life. I never felt like I was walking in my purpose until like the last 3 years of my life. Like the last three,
you've been
four
glowing
years,
over
like,
the last 2-3 years.
Now, how long? Now, wait a minute. How long? You know, what was the epiphany that you had when you just said, "You know what, black men don't cheat no more"?
Shit, when I got coming out here to LA and cheating all the motherfucking time. And sitting down with my wife one day, and she ran down the whole resume to me.
Oh, man.
I'm like, how you know her? How you know this person? How you know
she that
person?
Paper over.
And then. Exactly. Exactly.
Oh, shit.
And then it's just like, yo, not wanting to make the same mistakes my father made. You know what I'm saying? Wanting to break them generational curses.
That's a big thing.
Because I watched my father ruin our whole household because he couldn't keep his dick in his pants. You know what I'm saying? So I'm like, I got 3 daughters at home. I don't want to be just coming to see them on weekends. Like,
that shit's whack, man.
It's whack.
Man, when you get a taste of that family life, it's like, I'm not... Forget all that. I'm going
I ain't cheated in 4 years. I feel good. I'm like a motherfucker that...
You can tell.
That ain't
you look
drunk.
Like you,
that ain't bad. I was an alcoholic that I've been sober for 4 years. I should be applauded, goddammit.
Let's give some real round of applause.
I ain't cheated in 4 years, and it feel good. You know what I'm saying? The energy is different. So, yeah. And it's just like about being...
You get out of it what you put into it.
Get out what you put into it.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
If you put dedication and commitment... you know, and a real sincere passion for your relationship, if you put that into it, then you're going to get back. That back out of it.
And we live great lives. I don't want to be sharing this. I don't want to be sharing this great life
that
with motherfuckers.
Guilt something else, huh?
Yeah, man.
That guilt get heavy. Christmas.
Come on,
all that
man.
Shit. You know, you just did some fucked up shit.
Yeah, how many holidays have you spent alone, Five Mics?
Me? I'm not going to lie. I've been lonely this last year or so. But other than that, I've always
on regular days, not just on Thanksgiving and Christmas.
No, well, I've been with your family on Thanksgiving and Christmas. I've been enjoying Christmas and Thanksgiving, actually. I've been having great Christmases and Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving over his house is popping.
Well,
hey, man, listen,
get some
right?
more stuffed turkey right there, yeah? But, you know. You need a companion. You
damn, why your eyes got a little watery, man?
Yeah, man. Really, really over here,
man. Five, why your eyes got a little watery?
1942.
I'm emotional. Gotta let you know.
You just want somebody to share your experiences with. That's all. Kevin Lyles told me that a long time ago. Kevin Lyles said, yo, I can't tell you to get married, but I can tell you to find somebody to share your experiences with.
You know what? The thing is, right, it's two things that you'll know when you in love and when you just ready to cut it off. When, let's just say right now, right, you walk outside and phone rings and it's a deal on the line. You just secured a deal for $2.5 million. The first person you want to call to share that news with.
That's real.
That's her.
That's real. Damn. You know what I mean? That's real.
And also, the juxtaposition. Let's say you walk outside and on the way to the car, you get swarmed and apprehended by the authorities, thrown into a holding cell.
Whoa.
You got one phone call.
You already know.
That's real.
Whoever you want to call.
That's real.
That's the one.
That emergency contact put you right down.
Contact.
You see, I'm single. I'm at that stage though. If that I'm calling one of my old shorties that
see,
the ball last level.
She, you know, she got Jody next to her.
No,
why
but
you
we locked in.
Night
you
up?
Gotta call the ones you lock. I got them locked in joints. Like,
nah,
your boyfriend.
See, that's what you think.
Come downtown. Come downtown.
She ain't leaving. But see, that's the point. If you if she was really yours, she'd leave with her boyfriend in the house.
Mm.
What?
You
if she get me out of jail, she's mine.
She ain't leaving
no,
the house.
No, it's not
her
true.
Boyfriend.
She's a good Samaritan.
No. That's a fact.
She's a good Samaritan. She's a good Christian with a good heart.
Yeah, yeah. She's got a good heart.
She tithing.
That's all it is.
She's tithing,
doing some
community service.
I'm not at that point in my life.
What do you mean not that point? Well, what point you waiting on?
I tried to do that shit.
Senior citizenship?
Get in love and get married.
What you mean you tried? How you tried?
I tried.
How you tried?
I was with somebody for 9 years. Got in love.
I ain't never seen you. Who you with?
I don't bring her around. I'm not bringing her to the hip hop function.
See,
yeah,
that's
right.
The thing, though.
She stays in the house.
But see, that's the
Wifey.
Thing, though.
She's staying in the
what
house.
Are you ashamed?
Not ashamed is that I can't supervise all the wolves.
What do you mean supervise? What about the trust?
Hey, listen, I'm coming up at that time. I'm not established young man, got it popping, my girl. Sit down. I'm figuring out. I'm trying to figure
you
it
can't
out.
So,
she's supposed to love you for
down.
You.
Yes, I'm trying to tell you. When you're in the figure out stage, she fucking with you, but somebody
down.
Could.
She fuck with you.
Somebody could come in and taint your shit
see,
up a little
man,
bit.
Man, you ain't whipping
a couple
that 1940s
dick
out right, Five. You ain't whipping that
ain't
dick
the one.
Out right.
No, listen.
I'm going to tell you something, man. This is the thing. When you and another person connect on a emotional, spiritual, mental, just a, you know, beyond physical level. That combination of those two energies cannot be duplicated.
That's a fact.
Mm. You see what I'm saying? So you can get with somebody else and y'all might have a different energy or another energy. She can get with somebody else and they might have another energy, but the energy of you and her can never be duplicated.
That's a fact.
But better deals come by. I'm not going to, you know what I mean?
But you ain't with a woman for the deal.
I'm saying what they with me for. You know what I mean? We get down in the studio, Jay-Z say, hey, you kind of pretty, and she's out of here. What am I doing?
That's not true.
I be in places that they friend, like my own people, like, what you want to do, Fab?
That's
you know
not true,
like,
bro.
She not the one for you anyway, then. If she's,
that's what I'm trying to tell
yeah,
you.
If, she can, just, if she can be taken away like that, then she never
right
was
now,
the one
I'm
for you.
Right now, just focusing on my career craft and you know maybe
so
a good
basically
father.
You just think that all women like the women that you've had you feel like they all had potential to be apprehended.
No, that's not true. I feel like my career and my dreams outweigh the relationship.
Man, you sound like one of these women.
But you
man,
go from what? But check this out though. But you go
chase
from
your dreams is bad?
But check this out. But you go from right now you are well I'm coming up and I ain't really got it like I want to, so I don't need no woman. And you go from that to once you actually get it, it's like, well, now that I done came up,
you getting a certain
I don't
kind.
Know who really yeah. want me for me. So yeah. Which is it?
But even when I'm in a low standpoint, I just told you, my circle is a little different. You understand what I'm trying? I might be in a room all full of everybody's favorite people. So yeah.
What that got to do with being in a room?
He's saying they could be influenced.
When you're not in that position, you can see it.
But they're not five. If a woman loves you, she loves you because you five.
And I'm just telling you, it's like how far does that go when it's the bills due?
Well, okay. I mean, you got to go out and actually do something, too.
I can do something for myself. I can't take care of whole families. I'm trying to make it. You see, I can't take care of you and all these families. Just come here with them because I'm trying to. No, I'm good by myself and I'm with Tip and I got a few stacks on me. I'm good. I can survive and run around. But I can't survive and run around and be a dad.
So you wait until you get your paper right to fall in love?
Because I've been a person.
Growing love?
I've took care of a lot of stepkids. Cause I've talked to older women my whole life.
And do you get a card on Father's
You don't get
Day?
Shit. No, yo, you don't get shit. I don't care how many years you put in. No, as soon as it's over with Day. Mom, you're not my dad.
Right.
So when these things, when you learn, you're like, you know what? I'm just going to get my shit together so I can just kick it with somebody and it doesn't matter. Like, we're just kicking it. But in my instance, girls give me like, five's always around the bag. He's going to lead me to a bag. And I don't be know. I be
that's an opportunist.
Yeah, to the bag comes.
So you saying you a breadcrumb?
No, not at all.
I'd rather you get you a nice, fine, honest prostitute before you get to running into these opportunities.
This is how you learn. You live and you learn. Like now, like I said, even my relationship with girls is way different because I'm not strategizing either. It was the point where I had to be something I'm not trying to make. You know what I mean?
I feel like you like fat white girls, Five, with money and good credit.
Absolutely. Yeah. That's it.
Why would you say that?
They got to be white.
Why would you say that?
I feel like that's your type.
That's not my type.
You got a couple of those on the roster.
I do have a couple. But I explained this stuff today. I like all shapes. I don't have no problem. You know what I'm saying?
You ain't got no problem with what, man.
All right, that's too big. But away from that,
if they got good credit and they got some change or something, you down.
No, to mess with me, you have to have money.
Man.
It don't make no sense. I'm not going to be dishing out all the money.
Yeah.
That ain't gonna work. I'm trying to come up. How I'm gonna do that? 50-50.
Hey, man.
So dangerous mind, bro.
Man. What's happening, man? We're going to pause on the discussion right here expeditiously because we have a much needed message to deliver to you. Now, it's about the Fossil Gen 5 smartwatch. It's their most innovative smartwatch to date. It's compatible with both iPhones and Android phones. You can make or take calls from your wrist. Even look like, a 007 CIA agent. You know what I mean? We can get your earpiece in the whole gig. You dig what I'm saying? Now, download all the apps you want and music with 8 gigabytes of storage. No need for nightly charges. Extend your battery life for multiple days with smart battery modes. Alright? Now, here's the bonus. It's a smartwatch that actually looks good. You know what I'm saying? Now, this may be an intangible benefit, you know what I'm saying? Just given all of the many uses like making and taking calls, listening to your music, downloading your apps. If that's not enough for you, it also looks good, all right? So what are you waiting for, man? Go ahead and treat yourself to the Fossil Gen 5 smartwatch. You have my permission to shop nonstop using your bankroll and not mine. So get your Gen 5 smartwatch now at fossil.com/TI. Starting at $295, shop right now at fossil.com/TI. To take us out of here, man.
In your
second book, Shook Ones, of course, we already mentioned that you combat the stigma around mental health. So what is the meaning behind the title and what are the key takeaways?
Well, I didn't go to college. So being that I didn't go to college, you know what I'm saying? Most of my education came from my experiences in the street
right.
and my experiences with hip hop. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? When I think about hip hop, that's what helped me to transcend my circumstances, music and books.
Right.
So when I had the title Shook One, it was kind of reframing that term. Because, mm-hmm. In the hood, if you was a shook one,
you scared.
You scared. Yeah. You fooled. We put these defense mechanisms up because we don't want people to know that we are indeed shook. So I was just really saying it's shook one because it's okay to be shook. It's okay to have some fears. It's okay to have some insecurities. And then the subtitle, Anxiety Playing Tricks on Me, that's the playoff Mind Playing Tricks on Me. Because if you go back and you listen to that song by the Ghetto Boys, you realize Bushwick Bill, Willie D, Scarface, super anxiety. That's why I had Scarface right to forward. You know what I'm saying? When you hear that song, you can tell, you know, like, that's those are real experiences, the hallucinations.
You don't realize until years later, though.
Oh, right? Man.
They struggling with everything. Man. Now, even substance abuse.
I think PTSD is something that we all deal with.
Absolutely.
It hasn't been recognized or acknowledged enough in our community among each other.
What's the full name of that?
PTSD.
Post-traumatic stress disorder.
Yeah.
I'm just saying for people that didn't know.
Yeah, post-traumatic.
Man, I swear, boy. You so fucking smart.
Hey, I know I've been diagnosed with PTSD, man, and also some forms of anxiety. And they said mild depression, but at that time I was on my way to prison, so I was just sad about that.
Well,
for the second time.
And the loss of life.
Yeah, loss
of life.
You know
what I'm saying? When you got a bunch of people around you that's constantly going.
The thing about me, though, bro, I'm numb.
Shit. That's not good, though.
I'm numb to it.
I used to be the same way.
I'm numb to it. And I feel like I'm torn because when family members die, of course, I feel, in a sense, kind of, I feel good because I'm able to be strong and be there for the people who grieving, and it's not really, you know what I'm saying, affecting me the way that I'm able to help them because I'm put together. Whereas other times I'm like, man, what the fuck is wrong with me?
Word up. That's one of the reasons I started going to therapy too. Cause I didn't feel shit.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying. I'm like I'm numb to everything.
Yeah. Bro, me and you had this conversation a couple months ago.
Yep.
Yeah. Like I say,
especially with death,
between
everything,
between seeing people die in the streets that I didn't really know, but just seeing that loss of life. But between having my best friend in the world die in my arms, you know what I'm saying, and actually having to carry my stillborn daughter down and put her into a coroner van. I had to do it. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, of course, my old lady, she wasn't, you know, she wasn't, and I wasn't going to just let a stranger. You know what I'm saying? So I had to pick my baby up and, you know, and take her down there and place her in the van. But after that, I'm like, man, shit. What else is there to feel? Like, if I made it through that and I kept it together, then for me to fall apart right now about something else, it doesn't equate.
That's all the effects of PTSD, though. Like, we go through so much of it, you know, we become numb to the shit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, we don't even understand the repercussions.
Yeah, I mean, natural causes of death, like when you know somebody's sick, you know, even the stillborn, it's like, that hurts, but you can kind of understand that.
Yeah, kind of understand.
But when you see somebody get killed, that shit shouldn't be numb to us. No, like, that shit is normal to us, and it shouldn't be.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Because as long as we keep normalizing it, then we're not going to ever try to do anything to really, really prevent it.
It's crazy because, you know, when Nip passed, that's all it does is bring back memories.
Man, that shit fucked me,
bro.
Yeah,
I was fucked up.
I felt that.
And you was with me.
I felt that.
You was with me when I lost my best friend.
Yeah.
And all it did was bring back those memories.
When all those traumatic experiences.
All those experiences. Me picking out my best friend's suit to put him in a cab. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
I dressed so many dead people.
Man, listen. So, you know, what happened with Nip, just all, and again, we talking about PTSD, right?
Yeah.
When do we break that cycle? Or how do we break that cycle?
This is what he said. It starts waiting.
I think to telling your story, sharing your experiences, so everybody feels, everybody understands
stop
that they're not the only one going through it. Everybody keep the shit to themselves, because they don't want to feel like an oddball. You know, I'm out here talking about my feelings and shit. Ain't nobody else talking about their feelings, so why the fuck would I?
Because we don't cry.
I don't want to kill the party.
Yeah.
I used to get whoopers for crying. So
that's what we do, right?
Yeah. That's how we grow up. My grandma,
I need something to cry about.
Yeah, get your ass.
Well, we need some of that.
We need the cry.
There's some cry babies out here, though.
The Nipsey shit was so crazy because I never thought I would have empathy for the person who actually killed Nip.
Mm.
Why?
When I saw that, when I accidentally saw the video because somebody sent it to me and I didn't know what it was that night. And I'm like, what the fuck's going on? And I'm like, oh, shit. And when I saw him kick Nipsey, I was like, that nigga is hurting. That nigga got some pain in him that he ain't dealt with ever. Like, that's a different level of trauma. That's a different level of hate. After you shoot a brother like that and then kick him, that shit was some of the most evil shit I ever seen in my life. And that shit made
me... I watched that, bro.
That's what made me say, like... Man, we really got to start getting to the root of this motherfucking trauma that's in a lot of these brothers, man, because that's why they doing the shit that they do. That's why he was capable of doing some shit like that in the first place.
That's real. Now, when we as we on the subject, what would you want the next generation to know about the subject of mental health, anxiety, PTSD, and other symptoms, or other illnesses? What could a young person that may be dealing with depression, anxiety, or something, or even maybe suicidal, what could they do? What would be your message or your advice to them?
Number one, I would tell them it's okay to not be okay. You know what I'm saying? And I hope the next generation learns from us because we the ones that's telling our stories.
Right.
Because black people, we think we're doing each other a favor by keeping secrets.
Right.
You know, we're not keeping secrets, you know, anymore. So now that we're not keeping secrets, we know that, okay, Charlamagne might deal with anxiety, or Tip might deal with PTSD, or Mir might deal with depression.
Mm-hmm.
Five just crazy, but it's okay. You know what I'm saying? and so we giving people the tools and the resources and showing them, yo, you can go to therapy.
Right.
You know, you can go talk to a counselor. It's okay to grieve. Like, you don't got
to
just...
It's okay to walk, cry.
You actually encourage me to try therapy out.
Five, I think it'll do wonders for you.
I went there when I was a kid,
and
I didn't like it.
You said when you was a kid, though.
Yeah, how old were you? I was about 13, 12.
Were you honest with the therapist?
Yeah, I was going because, you know, the mom situation, trying to figure out who your mom is and all that type of stuff.
Oh, word. Nah, for real.
But I didn't feel comfortable talking to the people.
Right.
I was in there, I'm happy, but once it come down, you're like, why am I telling this person all my shit?
Well, that's why it's good if you got more black therapists and stuff now.
Right. Yeah, see, you at that time, I was downtown with some white lady. You're correct about that.
You feel, because 9 times out of 10, they the people that is causing us to have a lot of these issues anyway. So now when you got people that look like you, it's easy to tell your story. They understand your culture a lot better.
As a New York Times bestselling author, what are three books that you feel like help shape and mold you as a man?
Oh, that's easy. Message to the Black Man by Elijah Muhammad.
Mark it.
From Niggas to Gods by Akil. From Niggas to Gods was a book that used to go around in the jails a lot.
Yeah, I got it.
You can order it off Amazon. That shit was amazing. You know what I'm saying? And probably The Four Agreements by Don Miguel Ruiz.
I'm familiar with all three of those books. I haven't read them in totality, but I'm familiar with them. There's a lot of knowledge in them.
Absolutely.
So everybody, y'all listen to these three books and mark them down. And I think you should make it your business to read them and get some knowledge in your head. Five.
Yeah, I'm going to check them out. What's the last one you said?
I don't mean just read the covers.
The Four Agreements.
Four Agreements. I'm checking that out. You heard?
Man, and my last question. What advice do you have for somebody like me who just stumbling into this shit? How can I become
you a natural though, Tip.
Man, but still.
You've been talking.
Nah, bro.
You got to understand. No. People fell in love with your vocabulary years ago.
Ooh.
Like years ago, they've been liking to hear T.I. talk. They've been liking to hear you in interviews. Yeah. Yeah, and they like when they used to see you on DVDs talking. Like, this is just, it's just a natural transition from what you've been doing.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
And with what you've been doing on social media, this is just.
Yeah.
So I've been telling you, like, you used to. I tell artists this all the time, go watch T.I. interviews.
Yes,
because they don't know how to answer questions or make people feel like they getting the answer without giving them the answer, and you know how to do that.
What do you mean?
You know, bro. I done been to hella radio stations with you,
nigga. You
and
can
I
articulate.
See people try to make you uncomfortable.
That does not work.
And you
that
do you make them feel like they getting what they need. And you haven't given them
nothing.
I remember in 2003, I had this artist that from South Carolina. We were shopping him around. And I remember being in, I think it was Asylum.
Right.
And Joey I.E. said, can he talk? I said, what you mean, can he talk? And he was like, can he talk? I said, what do you mean, can he talk? Yes, he can talk. He was like, no. Right. Can he talk like T.I.?
Whoa.
This is 03. He said, can he talk like T.I.? Because, you know, people got this this stigma, this misconception about artists from down south.
Right.
So, you know, artists get from down south getting interviews, and they they bumbling and mumbling, and you know, you can't understand them, and they speaking in incoherent sentences. He was like, can he talk like T.I.? If he can talk like T.I., he'll be a star. Mm. I was like, damn, that was, oh, it was 03.
When you get to the South, you realize that he's a special guy right here. That's most chopped up.
Nah, it's a lot of brothers.
Most of them in prison, I would tell you. But it is a lot of them.
They make us cut off everywhere. You know what I'm trying to say?
Nah, they just put
they
words together.
They slur it together. Exactly. They saying it's something.
And you really appreciate it when you sit down and you interview a lot of these new artists.
Right.
That's what I'm trying to say.
Because they ain't got shit to say. They so socially awkward.
Hey, bro.
I think it's because of these phones, too.
They don't have much human interaction.
No, not at all. And I feel sorry for them. I'm like, man, stop bringing these dudes here. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, I love the growth of the Migos because I remember them early Migos interviews.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that's a whole meme. Right?
I remember when Takeoff was the most talkative member of the Migos.
What?
Yes. Yep. I remember that. But I mean, now they, you know, they comfortable. It,
right.
They know who they are. Yeah. They able to articulate.
Yeah, the wins and the millions to do it.
Absolutely.
You're natural, bro. You got this.
Well, thank you, man. I appreciate that, man. Thank you for coming here.
Thank you for
Expeditiously,
having me, my brother.
Man, I appreciate you. Now, what we do here, one of the things we do, we have a word of the week. Now, the word of the week is usually something that is indicative of the discussion. So for this week's word, I chose presentiment. Presentiment is a feeling that something, especially something unpleasant, is going to happen. So it's sort of like cynicism.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Using the pessimistic.
Mm-hmm. Oh, here I say the word of the day again one more time.
I just said it.
Presentiment.
Now, what's the definition?
You wasn't even listening.
Something bad is going to happen.
Oh, yeah. This 1942 mixed with the club got me a presentiment.
No, we're going to stop right now.
Yo, you are dangerously...
I'm not using presentiment this no time this week. Bruh. I'm good. Man.
Okay. Well, I'll use it in a sentence. Before leaving... Okay. Before leaving the house, I had a little twinge I just couldn't shake. A presentiment that something bad was about to happen.
Damn. Shakespeare. That's a good thing. That's fine. Presentiment.
Man. So there we have it, man. Charlemagne the God. And thank you so much for taking care
of
not just me, but all of the other artists from Hustle Gang, man. My son, them included.
Absolutely.
Love and respect you. And we'll continue to fight the good fight, shoulder to shoulder, standing alongside one another.
Yes, sir.
Man.
Did you call B.O.B.? Speaking of Hustle Gang artists?
Nah, man.
He didn't look happy this week.
I mean, man, listen. We all as men, we all working through shit.
Yeah.
We all working through shit. From what I saw, though, I think his unhappiness comes from a place of him still expecting the music industry to validate him. He's still looking for acceptance and validation from the music industry.
And
as long as he's looking for that,
he'll never be happy.
Because it's just not, you know, you got to find other things to make your plays, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You got to recognize when you've got as much water as you can get out of this well and move on to the next one.
Absolutely. I see what you're saying.
It's hard, though, when you keep going to that well and it's open. You don't realize.
Man.
Oh, you remember how full that well used to be?
Yeah, you
Do you remember
how many trips you done got there with them full buckets you done walked back and forth to the village?
There ain't no water.
He need to lean into his talent.
Yeah.
He's super talented.
It's
crazy.
Uber. And I don't know. I mean, you know what I'm saying? And the thing is, what I don't want to do, what I never have done is force myself on a situation. If someone would like to speak to me, I always have an open door policy. Everybody knows they can call my phone. They can come pull up on me. And I'm going to offer the best advice, the most genuine perspective I can. Even if it ain't necessarily what you want to hear.
Absolutely.
It's never been a, who it did? Man, get out my phone. I ain't never kicked it like that. But at the same time, I ain't going to baby nobody and I can't hold no hands.
All right.
You know what I mean? Because we all men out here.
Absolutely.
But anytime, man, my lines are open. And if there's ever a discussion that's ever needed to be had, I'd be readily available.
Expeditiously.
Thank you, man. Yes, Charlemagne the God. Thanks for listening to Expeditiously with me, T.I.P. Don't forget to subscribe at Apple Podcasts and Podcast One and rate and review, please.
Expeditiously is produced, engineered, and edited by KC Morris.